tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, August 27th, 2025. Yes, this is the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer sitting in for Alex today. And I will just say this quickly, and we'll get into the breaking news. Alex is out today. His father is having some very serious surgery. He's actually in the middle of the surgery right now. That is why Alex is out. But I do believe we'll be hearing from Alex shortly in response to what just happened in Minneapolis, where you had a mass shooting. We're still waiting for answers as far as clarification on casualties and how many were shot. Right now, it looks like at least early indications are 20 people wounded, maybe two deceased, but information is still incoming. And then Alex is communicating with some FBI sources right now to try to get as much information as we can as far as the details that are available with the shooter. But they do have a live press conference that has just kicked off right now outside of the school, I believe is where this is. And so let's take this live.
And we are seeing the Minneapolis mayor there, Jacob Frey, right in front of the microphone. Let's listen.
There are no words that can capture the horror and the evil of this unspeakable act. Children are dead. There are families that have a deceased child. You cannot put into words the gravity, the tragedy, or the absolute pain of this situation. We are a Minneapolis family. But to everybody out there, do not think of these as just somebody else's kids. Those families are suffering immense pain right now. Think of this as if it were your own. Every one of us needs to be wrapping our arms around these families, giving them every ounce that we can muster. These were Minneapolis families. These were American families. And the amount of pain that they are suffering right now is extraordinary. And don't just say this is about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in a church. These are kids that should be learning with their friends. They should be playing on the playground. They should be able to go to school or church in peace without the fear or risk of violence, and their parents should have the same kind of assurance. These are the sort of basic assurances that every family should have every step of the day, regardless of where they are in our country. I'm so deeply saddened, and I'm so sorry to the families that I know are suffering right now. My ask is to everyone, stand by them. Love them. These families have forever been changed, and we've all been changed with them. We need to do everything possible to support them through this time.
All right, so that is Minneapolis Mayor speaking to the press here. I imagine law enforcement and any federal agents on the scene will be stepping up to the mic shortly. I'm not sure how many details they can divulge at this point, but we will pick that up on the other side of this short break. We don't have too many details as far as the series of events today, but I will say this. We're probably going to get the same response that we always do politically, and I think it's pretty fair to say here that that's not working. Okay? It's obviously not working.
every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexhealthstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexhealthstore.com.
To an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
So the breaking news, as we are live here on this Wednesday, August 27th, 2025, episode of the Alex Jones Show, Owen Schroyer sitting in for Alex today, who is with his father, who's having very serious surgery today. I do anticipate we'll be hearing from Alex likely before the end of this segment, but certainly before the end of the show today. And the breaking news as of this morning is a shooting in Minneapolis at a church, at a Catholic school. We have early indications. It looks like 20 victims, perhaps two deceased. We're still trying to get as much detail as far as the series of events that led to this are concerned for you today. Now, we're going to be going back to the press conference here momentarily. You just heard from Glenn Frey. He's still speaking here. He's not really giving any details. It's more of an emotional plea to the country for love and support. I don't know if he's making any political stance on this yet or not, but obviously whenever there's children involved or it's a school, it has a little bit of an extra tug at the emotional heartstrings of the country. I think we can all understand that. Now, I can sit here and talk about how just this last weekend, a five-year-old was shot in Chicago. It happens nearly every weekend. I can talk about the fact that this is the fourth fatal shooting in Minneapolis just this week. Just this week is how bad that deal is. Now, we just had that shooter in New York City, you may recall. And it was a rare moment of honesty in a press conference where the police chief comes out and says, yes, this individual was on pharmaceutical pills. So I think what we're seeing in our country now is we've had these problems, we've had these cancers, and they're really starting to get to the point now where it's like it's starting to show physical signs, and now we have to decide how we're going to respond. Just look at what Trump has done with Washington, D.C., militarizing the streets, you could say, and you could have the debate about whether you think it's good or bad. For the most part, the residents have supported it, and there hasn't been a single killing. Not one since it happened. So, do we want to see a police state? Do we want to see militarized streets? Absolutely not. But does somebody with, you know, a gangrene on his foot want to get amputated? No, but sometimes it's a necessity. So that's where we're at. Now, I'll expand on this, but the police is now stepping up to the microphone. So let's see what they have to say.
I am the Minneapolis police chief. Earlier today, just before 8:30 a.m., our city experienced an unthinkable tragedy. Minneapolis police officers responded to a report of a shooting at a mass that was happening at the Annunciation Roman Catholic Church on the block behind me. This worship service was marking the first week of school for children that are attending the Annunciation Catholic School. During the Mass, a gunman approached on the outside, on the side of the building, and began firing a rifle through the church windows towards the children sitting in the pews at the Mass. Shooting through the windows, he struck children and worshipers that were inside the building. The shooter was armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol. This was a deliberate act of violence against innocent children and other people worshiping. The sheer cruelty and cowardice of firing into a church full of children is absolutely incomprehensible. Police officers from the Minneapolis Police Department immediately responded, entered the church, and attempted to provide first aid and rescue some of the children that were hiding throughout the building, while other first responders came and EMS responded to rush victims to nearby hospitals. Two young children, ages 8 and 10, were killed where they sat in the pews. Their parents have been notified. 17 other people were injured, 14 of them being children. Two of those children are in critical condition. The coward who fired these shots ultimately took his own life in the rear of the church. Our hearts are broken for the families who have lost their children, for these young lives that are now fighting to recover, and for our entire community that has been so deeply traumatized by this senseless attack. We will stand together to protect our children, our schools, and our houses of worship. This deliberate act of violence is just a sign of cruelty that is beyond comprehension. Our hearts are broken for everyone that's been affected by this tragedy. As we begin the difficult path of healing, I want the community to know this, that even in the face of such evil, the Minneapolis Police Department and all of our law enforcement partners stand with our community. We stand with these families and with this parish. We will continue to be here for you. With that, the investigation is obviously in its preliminary stages, and I will attempt to take some questions to provide further information.
Chief, what can you tell us about the suspect in this case? How old was he? Any kind of motivation? Any notes or any other information?
So we were looking, the question was, what can be said about the shooter? We believe it is one suspect, a sole shooter. We believe he is deceased. He is in his early 20s, does not have an extensive known criminal history, and we are looking through information left behind to try and determine some type of motive.
Yep. How many children?
The question was how many children at the school. There were dozens of children inside the Mass at the time. I don't have an exact count. The children have been relocated into the school, which is where their families are reunifying with them.
Was the shooter a student, former student? Was he a former employee?
The question was, do we know if the shooter was a former school employee or a former student? We don't have that information.
Did you leave anything behind other than the weapon?
No. There's a vehicle. The question was anything left behind? There's a vehicle that we believe that the suspect used that is being searched. And we are, we will be conducting other searches related to this. Inside the parking lot here.
Yep. Some neighbors who said that the church had been barricaded.
Yep. So the question was, neighbors had said that the door to the church had been barricaded. The shooter approached on one side of the church building, and on that side, at least two doors, it appears there had been like a 2x4 placed. So not all of the doors around the building, but on the side where the shooter did fire.
And on the
outside? On the outside, yes.
Wow.
The question was there any explosives? There were reports of that. There were no explosives or improvised devices that we found. I do believe there was one, I guess you would call it a smoke bomb, like not an explosive, but a sort of a firework that would release smoke.
We are live here on the Alex Jones Show. Listen to Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara with details on the shooting in Minneapolis this morning.
I don't have specific information on that I can release. The question was, is he dead from a gunshot wound? The answer is yes. We believe he took his own life in the parking lot.
Was this outside or both inside that he was shooting?
The question was he shooting outside and inside? He was absolutely shooting outside of the building on the side of the church, inside through the windows. It appears he may have gone inside, but I don't believe we've located any casings inside the building. So I'm not certain it fired also while inside. It appears, if not all, most of the shooting happened outside the building.
Is this shooting related to any other shootings that happened in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, Taylor's asking, is this related to any of the other shootings? This does not appear to be related to any other shooting in the city.
Do you know approximately how many rounds?
The question was how many rounds? I would say it's in the dozens. We don't have an exact count. There's a sidewalk on the outside as well as a grassy area, so obviously we are going through and taking our time to process the scene. The question was he firing one weapon? We believe he had fired all three. He had a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol.
Chief, was this individual licensed to conceal
and carry? Were the weapons, was he lawfully carrying the weapons? I don't have that information. And I don't have any information on any significant criminal history either.
Was he dressed at all in any actual type of gear or anything?
It appeared he had some black clothing on, this cargo-type pants. I guess you could interpret that as, you know, however you like.
All right, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for helping us to get the information out today. We have a lot more,
no more questions
that needs to be done.
We're going to go ahead and cut this feed off for a second, and Owen's going to be hosting here on this live Wednesday, the 27th of August, 2025. We have seen this over and over again. Almost 100% of the mass school shootings and church shootings of the last 4 years have been trans. Most of those have been men claiming they're women. As we all know, one has been a woman claiming she was a man in Tennessee. And the corporate media, the Biden administration, DOJ, tried to suppress that, and it came out years later thanks to Steven Crowder and his team. So I can tell you, Kyle Serafin, top FBI whistleblower really of all time, who I thought was credible over the last few years, but, you know, all the stuff he brought up, it was credible, and now is just ultra credible for me, because everything he's given us the last 6 months has been dead on. He sent me 45 minutes ago from his law enforcement sources the name of the reported shooter and his previous mugshot, driver's license database photo. So we know the name, according to law enforcement, according to his FBI sources. Also, again, this is a basically satanic style anti-Christian attack. They're all oppressed. They're unhappy because they get brainwashed as kids and told that society isn't accepting them. They have the highest rate of suicide, also the highest crime rate of any subgroup that's, you know, non-racially identified. You know, the highest crime rate is young black males, 14 to 25, but they are eclipsed by trans people. Trans people have a crime rate of mass murder of 10 times or more, the most dangerous young black thugs. And again, most black people are great people, it's just a small demographic that commits a large portion of the crime. But when it comes to trans, there is nobody more violent, and that includes to the people, their families. That includes just, you know, committing general murders, mass shootings, and they were to have their trans day of rages, of course. They're now covering up trans serial killer groups around the country that internet sleuths have broken. So this is a major, major issue. Over 20 people shot, many of them children. We're not getting numbers yet on dead. Hopefully there's nobody. but they believe that, that Jesus is the problem. And so this is literally a satanic MI6 CIA-controlled cult, created cult, and it's extremely dangerous. These people are brainwashed victims of the cult, and you know, this is called Seraphim. Gave me the name. I looked it up. Nobody has it, at least not yet, the photo. I've tried to get a hold of him since he sent it to me. Maybe he's doing his own stream right now. We should probably just pick that up. But his FBI sources have given him the information, and I have no doubt it's not accurate. But we're going to hold off on the name and things as this develops. But the big issue here is, if it is this shooter, and it is a trans shooter, those who are all wearing black, that's their satanic uniform, starting with Harris and Kleibold, you know, back in Columbine. If that is the case, then look for it to be covered up, just like the Minnesota attack that we saw, that when it came out that the shooter said he was doing it for Governor Walz, then it got shut down on the No Kings Day protest. And then they bought his wife and a bunch of other people with guns and ammo and passports trying to get out of the state. That all got swept under the rug. So the DOJ needs to investigate it, but they've just got so much to investigate. It's like trying to drink the ocean with a straw. I'm trying to get a hold of Kyle Seraphim because he just sent me the information. My dad is still in open heart surgery right now here in Temple. So I appreciate everybody's prayers on that front. And I am just, you know, here dealing with that. But obviously this is a big deal, not only for those that are wounded and hopefully not dead, but also the way these ongoing cover-ups work. If this was a Trump supporter or a right-winger, you would hear immediately that. I had predicted 5 days before the Minnesota shooting of the two elected officials and their spouses that, you know, the Democrats could do a mass shooting of their officials and blame us. And then I bet the day the shooting happens, I bet they blame Trump and InfoWars. And then the roommate of the shooter is paraded in front of the media to say he loves Trump, he loves InfoWars and Alex Jones. And then they had FBI behavior analysts look at the guy, and they said, we've never seen anybody this incredible. And you know, the way he's talking and acting. So you can't make this up. And it's all epicentering around Minnesota. God knows who wound this man up. But they are saying it's a man. And so Owen Schroyer, you're hosting the show, and I've got a lot you're already ready to cover today, but I basically laid out my views on this. I've got some other FBI sources I'm going to call, and then I'm going to call back in here. But Owen, what do you make of this so far?
The details that we have, what little details we have that we just got from the police there in Minneapolis, tell me that this could have been stopped with proper security. It could have been stopped. This guy was pacing around the building, barricading doors in. You probably had at least, I would say, a minute or two, if you had proper security there, to identify this shooter and nullify him before he's perhaps even able to get off a single shot. So we're in an unfortunate point, Alex, where we have to put military on the streets to stop shootings, and we're going to have to start stationing police officers at schools and churches and synagogues and everything else. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. I don't like it. You know, I don't like drinking, say, cough syrup when I have a cough, but you got to do these things whether you like it or not. And so I think that that's where it's at. So, but I want to see the political response. The political response has obviously failed. You have the left always with their same response, and then they get gun control legislation, and then they demonize Second Amendment activists and groups like the NRA. Well, that's obviously failed. Since the left has been enacting all of their gun legislation and all the Second Amendment reforms, school shootings, mass shootings have only gone up. They've only increased. All their laws to remove guns from blue cities have failed. Homicide rates are up. So obviously letting the left wing politically, kind of use this as hay to nest their bed to stop the Second Amendment has failed. And so we have to accept that, and we have to go the other way now and say, look, it's going to have to be a good guy with a gun that's going to stop this next time. Every time. It's going to have to be a good guy with the gun. And then, you know, should this be another instance where this is a deranged trans person, we're going to find out if that's the case, then obviously pharmaceutical pills were also involved here. So, you know, the response is going to have to be...
You're the former sports broadcaster that knows all the facts, but what's it called when a batter in a game knocks home runs, or basically, you know, makes it into home plate every time they're up at bat. What's that called?
Like if he bat 1,000, like he's batting 1,000.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so Kyle Seraphin's batting 1,000, and so I'm literally in the hospital, and my dad's in there in open heart surgery, and he just says, "Okay, FBI, here's the guy's mugshot. Here he is. Here's his name. He's trans." But then he's not answering. He's up doing something. So this guy bats 1,000. So if Babe Ruth of accuracy tells me this, then I'm very tempted to, you have the photo. I sent it to you. I sent you the information from Seraphin. I'm tempted just to say, Kyle Seraphin says this, and we can show his ex post where he basically, you know, says according to his sources, trans, you know, person, and all the rest of it, a trans person identifying as male. Does that mean female to male? The mugshot looks like I'm a dude. It's a driver's license photo or mugshot. I can't tell, but it's law enforcement. But yeah, there is. I'm being told the alleged shooter at the Catholic school in Minneapolis was a trans identified male. FBI and police have ID'd the male by name, which I'm withholding. ID photo shows a white male, looks to be under 30, blue eyes, long reddish hair, deceased. And so it looks like a man that thinks he's a woman, you know, instead of just screaming ma'am and beating, you know, breaking stuff up at a convenience store, blasting children because, you know, they don't accept their satanic order. That's what this is. But here's the bigger issue, and you hit the key, Owen. Since they hype up mass shootings, since they hype up trans are under attack, since they did all the police state stuff, it's only made it worse, but their police state is creating copycats, creating the option, the idea that you can go shoot up a school. No one ever even thought of that. We have the correlation directly, just like they knew back when they built the Empire State Building, that if one crazy person jumped off once a year, suddenly the next few days, 5 or 6 people would try to copy it. So as soon as one person jumped off the Empire State Building, the New York police quickly learned, there's actual psychology papers on this, to station people there because suddenly a bunch of copycatters would show up. Or whenever somebody jumps off the Brooklyn Bridge, every few months, suddenly a bunch more show up the same day or the next day doing it. So this is creating copycats. And you're right. I had Stuart Rhodes, constitutional lawyer, former political prisoner, expert on the police state, Ron Paul's former staffer, that Ron Paul would say, have Stuart on, the lawyer from Yale. He'll explain the police state. That was the Democrats' training to take our guns, to set up checkpoints everywhere, to go after American patriots. Trump's doing a Band-Aid, knowing that just seeing troops on the streets, the thugs think we're not safe and it stops, and crime drops 90%+, and there's not been one murder in 2 weeks in D.C. But you're right. It's like sawing your leg off because you have gangrene. The issue here is the Soros DA is creating a green light for our own reporter Jamie White to be killed by La Reconquista black supremacists. So we'll come back, but they've created the climate for this. And now because it will, I think, be a trans person, because Seraphin's never been wrong so far, maybe he is wrong this time, then they're going to just shut this story down. It's going to go away. But it does make me think, why is all this happening in Minnesota? Owen, take us out. I've got more key points to make, then I'll hand it over to you while I get more information on the other side. But this is all part of the lawlessness, the defunding of police, this atmosphere, this trans rage. They're trying to create a slow boil of civil war, and then call Trump a dictator when he's forced to call troops out on the streets. That's the Podesta plan I've been talking about for 5 years. It's implemented now, and unfortunately, we're going to see more of this. Stay with us and share the live feed right now. Relic shows on X, Infowars.com/show. Oh, and help. Here's hosting.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
You know, you can make it illegal to carry a firearm, or at least you will see Democrats, liberals, progressives responding to this as they always do with that conclusion. That's what needs to be done. Well, if you follow that train of logic, then ultimately I think you would have to go one step further and you'd have to say, we have to make killing people illegal too. Oh, that's right. Of course it already is. So then therefore the logic of making guns illegal is not going to stop this from happening. Now, we're going to be rejoined by Alex coming up shortly here, but I want to kind of reiterate, but also rephrase some of the stuff that he said there. You have in the youth right now, in the public schools mostly, and the police said that they don't know if this shooter had any connection to that Catholic school or not. But in the public school system, you have these kids getting indoctrinated. They're getting indoctrinated with hate. They're getting indoctrinated with the radical, progressive, youth sexual agenda. And then you have as just kind of this storm cloud that hovers over all of it, the pharmaceutical industrial complex that is just waiting to engulf these children that come out of these schools, really so brain damaged, you could say, the psychological damage, the emotional damage, the torment, waiting there to prescribe them their next batch of pills. Now, this is a phenomenon that is not new, but it's one of those things that, only increases exponentially. Because it's all about how do we get the product to the potential customer? And for this case, for big pharmaceutical companies, it's how do I get children on drugs? And I talk to friends of mine that have kids, and I hear it all the time. Kids that are not even teenagers yet, and they get prescribed Adderall. I've heard it as young as 8 years old, a kid being prescribed Adderall. And Adderall now, you know, that's like speed for kids, I suppose. But that's like the lesser of the evils with all the other psychiatric drugs that they get put on. And it's very well known. And you can even see it on TV with the pharmaceutical ads that were supposed to be made illegal. But that's another story. And they'll tell you about some of the side effects and, you know, potential suicide or violent tendencies. So they know that this is going on. And then you have the political response, which is, oh, guns are to blame. So then these schools or these jurisdictions, especially if you're in a blue area, if you're in a red area like Florida, it goes a little differently. But, oh, no. We're not going to put more guns on the scene. We're not going to put armed security guards on the scene. We're going to go the other direction. We're going to put up signs that say no guns allowed. Yeah, well, yeah, okay, so put up a sign that says no killing allowed, too. It's the same difference. Which is there will be no difference. Now, part of you says, you know, you can't discount the human element of this. So when is it even, when do you even start to get into a political response? Because you know it's going to happen. It's inevitable, especially when it's a school shooting like this. It happens more intensely, more rapidly. But it's like, okay, I guess you just kind of let the dead rest, and you say, here's the response that needs to happen, instead of just allowing some time here for the community and the families to go through it before the politicos start sweeping in and turning it into a story and a political issue. But that's always how it goes. It's sad, but it's pretty clear, and I think now that we have some of the details, I think we can say pretty confidently, I mean, I'd say 98% chance armed security guard probably stops this shooting. Now, that might not be the case with every shooting, and that doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect system, but obviously, there should they release specific details about this, it'll probably come out that he was probably pacing around outside that building for at least a minute or two or maybe five. I mean, barricading doors, I mean, that right there is like, yeah, he should be stopped immediately. And he barricaded two doors. So, the political response shouldn't be, let's go after the guns. The political response, if you even want to call it that, but it's really not, it would be a survival mechanism. The response should be, if I'm a school principal or superintendent or whatever, I'm on the phone right now with local private security. Or I'm on the phone right now and asking, can we get an on or off duty cop up here 24/7? What can I do if I'm a principal or the leader of a school? What can I do to make sure that if there's a gunman, there's a potential shooter coming to my school targeting my children, I'm going to have somebody already on the scene trained to take him out before he can get off a single shot. It's not like it's impossible to do. And in fact, there are many schools that already have these protocols in place. I just so happen to know that from personal experience, going to high school at what was a military academy. They converted it to a Christian college preparatory academy, but they still kept a lot of the military academy protocols. So, you know, we had Marines and stuff, colonels and stuff that were there. So maybe that's not the best example, but I mean, let me just say we went through drills, and this was before school shootings were even a thing. We had drills, we had protocols. The doors were already locked, cameras everywhere. If a gunman even stepped foot on the campus, he probably wouldn't even get anywhere near the building. So that might be kind of an extreme example. I was very blessed. I went to a great high school. But my point is that it is possible. You can have security protocols. I mean, folks, call one security expert right now. I mean, we obviously have to deal with a lot of security here. You talk to security experts, they'll tell you, hey, you know what, maybe nothing is perfect, but yeah, we can absolutely put a plan together for your school that will significantly decrease the odds of any one of your students getting shot. So that's a sad series of events. That's a tragic situation that we have to be in. But if we're not going to have a real conversation about what's happening, then nothing is going to change. And ultimately, I think that that's kind of the story here. And that's not to discount what these families are going through, obviously. That's about as bad as it gets. But isn't that kind of the story here? It's just like the thing is getting worse and we continue to have the same response. And then the thing continues to get worse. We don't want to address the real problems. It's like that's kind of the larger story with our country right now. We don't want to address the real problems. And you start to see some of it, I would say, with this administration. Like RFK Jr. just said that we're about to do our, I think they're going to have it next month in September. And they're going to have their big press conference where he's going to lay out the facts of how vaccines have caused autism. But it's like, that's like one little ornament on this tree. It's like, oh, well, what are we doing? We're addressing autism. We've got all these different drugs and pills and different educational systems and everything we do for these kids. And it's like, well, what's causing the autism? No, let's address what's causing it. What's going on in these cities with all the crime rates and the homicide rates? Like, yeah, okay, we're going to put the military on the streets, and guess what? The crime rates are down to almost nothing in D.C., and that's a reality. It's like, what's causing the crime? What's causing the crime? And people can make it a demographic issue, but no, demographics aren't causing crime. What's causing crime? I mean, you can talk about criminal activity and demographics, but what's causing this, what's made it so bad, what's exacerbated it, is leftist attorneys, leftist judges that keep the criminals on the streets. In fact, there's this video, I sent it to the crew, I mean, maybe we could play it here, where Fox is doing all these ride-alongs, because they get all the exclusives from the administration, and so they're riding along as the military is in D.C. and the police arrest this guy on a warrant, and he's talking to the cameras, and he's like, hey, look, I don't know why you guys are here arresting me. I've had this warrant. They've arrested me for this warrant. I've already been in the jail and arrested six times. They just let me back out here. So here's the clip, and I'll follow up, but here's the clip I'm talking about.
wanted in connection with an armed carjacking in Maryland told us that, why are you sending me back to jail? I won't even be there very long.
The judge is literally going to say we're going to put him on a three-day hold. Then once the three-day hold is up, and Ronnie never shows up. I done been over D.C. jail 6 times for the same warrant. They never show up. D.C. jail has to release me. They release me. It's the same thing every f***ing time. The same thing every time.
Now, I just so happen to have experience in the D.C. jails, and I'll tell you that that is exactly true. So when I'm in a jail cell with, you know, a guy for, I think I was in the cell with him for 24 hours, and then I was moved to a different cell for into solitary. That was for protection reasons. And he basically, you know, you're talking to this guy. He basically told me the exact same thing. Because I was kind of asking him some questions about the process that I'd go through. And he said, oh, well, you know, most of us are criminals. We're in here all the time. They're going to release us. So I imagine they're going to release you for this. And I mean, folks, it's so bad where there'll be people that are coming in all night. By the end of the night, they fill the D.C. jail and they all know each other. And they'll see, oh, hey, Joe. Hey, Bob. You know, hey. And it's they all know each other because they're there every night. And then they get released the next day. So I'm going on about this issue and how we don't address the root causes, and I'm hoping we don't do the same thing after the shooting, but we always do. Alex Jones rejoins me now, and I'm not sure if he's talking to the crew. Is he talking to you guys? Okay, okay. He's getting some things squared up with the crew right now as far as breaking news. So, Alex, are you with us now? Are you ready to go?
Yes, Ellen. I just connected. I just talked to Carl Serafin, a very respected, batting 1,000 FBI whistleblower. And he is just talked to other law enforcement sources and has confirmed that it is a trans-identified male. That means male to female. And so now we've been given the green light. He's going to be joining us as we speak to reveal the identity of the Minneapolis, Minnesota Catholic school mass shooter who reportedly took his own life this morning, firing in through the stained glass windows, through the windows. There he is, Robert Westman, now Robin Westman. This is reportedly, according to Carl Serafin, who's never been wrong. It's actually shocking how accurate it is. Not from his sources, but how he's able to, like, predict everything that happens. And the guy's impressive. I'll just leave it at that. And he's connecting right now. He knew this right when it started from sources in the FBI and with the, whether, I didn't have a chance to ask him, I should have, whether it's a DMV or a mugshot, we can ask him right now, from a 2023 photo of Robert Westman, now Robin Westman. And of course we have multiple children now confirmed dead. And up to over 20 people, they're saying now more than 20 people, shot in this cowardly satanic attack. Basically, every mass school shooting that hasn't been gang-related the last 4 years has been this trans uprising. There's all these serial killer killings going on. They're trying to suppress that. They're trying to suppress the, you know, the Nashville killer and then the stuff we saw in Tennessee with the manifesto. And so reportedly, according to Carl Serafin, it is Robert Westman, now Robin Westman. We'll put that back on screen. In fact, if we can minimize that, you can even see the law enforcement file there and his reported signature. So perhaps this is a DMV. Again, I forgot to ask Kyle that. I believe we have Carl Serafin here with us now, so I'm going to let him have the floor. We do have Carl Serafin, FBI whistleblower. Terrible for all of us, but I know you're a conservative Catholic yourself, the guy that blew the whistle on the targeting of conservative Catholics is the main terror threat, completely insane, and by the DHS and FBI. So this is, you know, you have children, I have children. This is just rips my guts out. And so every day I drop my 8-year-old daughter off at school, many days pick her up. I'm just thinking, my God, thank God they've got some law enforcement here. I know the churches around my house, whether Catholic or Protestant, have police there. They're only $50 an hour. Every church needs police. Obviously, this wasn't there, the law enforcement saying. So, Kyle, you can give us the latest accurate information and this information and the photo we have and what's happening. And then, obviously, we're going to see a corporate media response trying to suppress this. So, Kyle Serafin.
Hey, Alex. And hey, Owen. Yeah, guys, this is atrocious. And, you know, I went to Catholic schools for a lot of my younger life, and I went to Catholic high school, and it makes me sick. And I've got little kids, and this is the reason why I homeschool, because I don't want to be a guy that gets the phone call that you have to show up and find out if your kids are okay and something like this happened. It's a sickness in America, clearly, and we have a pretty dark time. The additional sickness is politicization of law enforcement and the possibility of our corporate media trying to run cover for ideologies that are not American, I guess. I mean, I don't even know what you call it, but I grew up at a time when people wanted to see children safe. Actually, you guys may not know this, but like one of the oldest stories is that my dad actually received phone calls from David Koresh during the middle of the Branch Davidian standoff while the ceasefire was going on. And while they were negotiating the ceasefire, my dad got calls for that. And they basically broke studio policy, and they were working with CBS at the time, and they broke the sort of network policy and started reading the demands of a madman out loud to be able to get kids out of that compound so that some would survive. And many of them did not, but a lot of them were released as a result of reading some kind of pseudo biblical garbage, and they get to live their lives, you know, however damaged they were afterwards. The story goes like this. We're really concerned. I think law enforcement people who just want to do the good work of keeping Americans safe. And there's plenty of people that want to do that. And there's also people in management that don't want to tell the real story, and they want to go chastise you for noticing things that happened. I think there's a real concern in law enforcement right now that this stuff will get covered up. And we saw what happened in Tennessee and how long it took for the FBI to release information there. And so, you know, people reach out to me, and I'm not going to, I have to be kind of cautious because, Alex, I got to protect the sources of the people that want to share this stuff. And so the information is that I think there's some pictures, and I can't see what you guys are showing on the screen right now, but I believe that, you guys have some photos of what the trans identified person looked like, and that apparently he had some YouTube channel. And I've had people reaching out to me on X, Twitter, and asking me, hey, is this the right guy? You know, can we go download all of his channel? It's like, yep, go get it. So they're archiving it. At the end of the day, right now, what we're seeing is a moment where the media doesn't have trust, and alternative media like this and independent media are the only ones that can actually be trusted to go do work without narrative or spin and without motivation. And there's no joy in reporting on something like this. It's atrocious. It's a tragedy. I mean, every single day I go to church, and any holy day of obligation, I go to church. I carry a gun. I carry a reload. I don't do that in my normal life. I don't go to the grocery store with a reload, you know, reload for my handgun, but I train out to 100 yards with a handgun in case I have to deal with something like this, because this is the reality of the world we live in right now. And a lot of this is residual. It's a residual Biden administration policy. If you guys will remember, we had a decidedly anti-Christian and anti-Catholic specifically moment. My friends that I worked with for a little while over at Catholic Vote were keeping a tally on all of the churches that were defaced and FACE Act violations that were committed in the United States. And the excuse that Merrick Garland gave was, it was dark outside, so we couldn't see who they were. Or they had a mask on. It was really hard to identify them. They had no problem finding J6ers. Owen, I know they had no problem finding out who you were or who was around you. But they made excuses for these people.
We're getting reconnected with Alex. Kyle, let me ask you one question. And maybe this is a timing issue, or maybe it's something different, but the police this morning, we played it about an hour ago, said that they didn't really have much upon the identity and that he had no criminal record. So I'm hearing what you're reporting in this, and I'm like, well, obviously the feds have this, and I know I can attest to what you're saying about a YouTube channel. There is something there. Are the feds withholding information from the police? Is that why you had to release this?
I think that, without being too specific, that I think that the general instinct is that because of the nature and how sensitive this could be, you're going to find that there's ideologies that are still at play. Look, when I tell you that the guys that are running the FBI have not recaptured it, I'm not joking. When I tell you that DOJ has not been recaptured by the people that run it, I'm not joking. I'm not making this stuff up. There's evidence of it every day. And so whether it's the evidence that they're still continuing to resist against, you know, my lawsuit, that they fought hard to keep the whistleblowers out that just got reinstated yesterday and kind of on like suboptimal terms, the same people that are doing that are the same people that are controlling the narrative, and they want to make sure that the press releases, you know, comport with what the FBI is willing to do. And they'll tell the guys at the top, hey, we can't do this for fill in the blank reasons. And they don't have the background to say, we're going to be radically transparent with Americans because that's what we're going to do. You know, yeah, obviously, like, the concern is that they're withholding information. And their concern is that people in local law enforcement needs to have sharing, and that doesn't happen. Anybody who's worked in local law enforcement knows the feds keep stuff. They don't open up the books. It's usually a one-way street, and it's like sort of like a heart valve where it's like it goes in one direction of the flow, and the flow is like, oh, you've got stuff, great, give it to our people. Once the FBI moves into an investigation, they oftentimes do not go back down and down-brief the people that are actually doing the work on the streets. And I found myself oftentimes that was the, you know, it's in the movies too, but it's the real feeling of law enforcement that does the real work every day, like interacting with the public. They're frustrated with the feds because the feds have access to bigger databases, know things, put out, you know, partial information that doesn't quite inform them. And it's like, well, why don't you just open your books to us? And they always hide it for various different reasons, sources and methods or national security and so on. So all these things are, you know, it's problematic. Because this is an ongoing FBI culture that has existed for years. I mean, this is not new. If anybody has even seen, like, you guys can go back and watch Die Hard. And it was old by then when you and I were kids. So this is, you know, this is the federal government's general move. And a lot of it comes from the FBI. Think of it itself as an intelligence agency, which is the drum I beat over and over again. If you think your job is intelligence, like, you don't get big disclosures from the CIA ever or the NSA. It just doesn't happen. And so you're going to find, problematically, that the Bureau is going to be either disingenuous or they're going to be shortcoming on certain things and, you know, FBI responding, and then that's it. It goes into a black bag. My interest is that this story is obviously a trend, and guys like Andy Ngo, who, you know, independent over at Postmillennial, they do a great job of exposing it. But the question is if it gets buried under mainstream, you know, weight and it just gets disappeared because it's not convenient to a narrative, we got a problem.
Well, we're going to break here in a moment, and obviously Owen's host saying my dad's having open heart surgery. He's about to come out. They're saying it went okay so far, so I appreciate everybody's prayers. But stay with us, because this is so important. It's terrible these kids got killed. It's terrible all this happened. But you're absolutely right. It's this trend of trans rage, the left, they're abused. Christians are the enemy. Catholics are the enemy. This was put out by the Obama-controlled Biden DOJ that you exposed first and then were fired over. And even a week ago when you said, well, they say they've reinstated them, but they haven't. I said, they've made the decision. They haven't told people yet. It's suboptimal, but it's happening. You are literally in the zeitgeist at the center of it right now. They're totally what you fear. Honorable FBI agents and people in the government that can explain to the American people how the system works. It is so important that you're here with us today, Kyle Serafin. People should find you at KyleSerafinShow.com and all the work you do. But please stay with us to unpack this. And what is clearly going to be an ongoing cover-up. And if you have to disconnect with your sources, if they're calling you and texting you to pop back in with new information, we really, really appreciate you. This is so important. I appreciate Owen and just the InfoWars crew. And that's why InfoWars is here, so we can have people on like Kyle Serafin and so many others that do have the integrity. That's why they want us shut down. That's why it's so important for all of you in Paul Revere. Share the live feed on X right now at Relox Jones. Share the Rumble feed. Share the Infowars.com/show feed. Do it now. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm a tan for a hat, wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat, 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione.
and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
We're back here in hour number two of today's Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer in studio, Alex on the road, Kyle Serafin with us as well. We're getting new details as far as the shooting was concerned, and there's a lot of stuff that's starting to emerge on the internet. I know Kyle Serafin is breaking some stuff with Alex Jones right now, and we're about to go out to both of them, and it's odd. Kyle was just breaking it down, and it's true. It looks like the cover-up is already on, actually. I would say if some of the stuff we're seeing out there turns out to be true, it looks like the cover-up is already on, Alex.
Well, it is. And look, I don't blow smoke. I don't kiss people's ass. When I first heard about Kyle Serafin years ago, I thought, well, this is a great guy. And, you know, the other, once I got to know him, the sources he gave me all panned out. We're all 100%. But I tried about 1,000. I never try to get things wrong. I try to be accurate. But when you're going out on limbs, I'm batting 800 or whatever. Kyle, because he is so dialed in and has such an understanding, I'll just say it. He doesn't want his job back at the FBI. Kyle Serafin ought to be the FBI director. I'm serious because that's what we need to save this country. And he is who they fear. And so let's remember, Cash Patel and Bongino said he was the greatest guy ever, and so was O'Boyle. And then as soon as they got into power, they went to Grassley secretly and said, oh, don't let these guys back in. They're bad, which did signify they'd sold out. And Kyle told me that privately 6 months ago. And then, you know, publicly he said it. And but we need to stop kissing these people's asses and only support the people that deliver the goods. And so my celebration of Kyle Serafin is about celebrating truth and accuracy. Because it's simple. Why do sailors follow the North Star before they had GPS? Because it's always there, and they can plot their course off of it, and it's right. And so right now Kyle Serafin is the North Star, and he needs to be careful because, you know, they've tried to indict him as well. He gets the same grand jury crap all the time I get. And people need to understand, viewers, we're not 8 years ago when Trump didn't know what was going on and didn't put good people in. He's gotten some good people now, like Ed Martin, who I've talked to at great detail, even that and others. So I want to talk about the ongoing cover-up. I think it's clearly going on. This was a Trump right-winger. You'd have heard it immediately. But it shows there's good people in the FBI that got the truth to Kyle. So we should know about that. And that's really the facts here. Is that it doesn't matter if CNN and MSNBC and the FBI top floors to try to cover this up. It doesn't matter because we have the bigger shows. We have the integrity. We have the sources. And so that's why there should be optimism, not in the power structure, but that we can hold the feet to the fire. We're not a panicking. We're holding the feet to the fucking firing. And so we got the ball is what I'm telling listeners. And there are good task force leaders in there. That's why Flynn has been a big pessimist. He's like, no, I'm told the indictments are incoming. They got grand juries open in Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, Missouri, Florida. I mean, I got given a bunch of stuff, and I this was on record, that was off record. But I can tell you, the reason I'm telling you all this is not to create a false sense of optimism like the Q people. Back then, I was saying it wasn't real, and I was right. Hillary wasn't secretly executed. There weren't people secretly at Gitmo. No. This is going down, and I can tell you, they're going after income tax, anything they can get them on. They're not, and they got grand juries, and they got jurisdictions that don't play around. America's ready for war, like that Scottish girl. We're tired of laying down, and the Catholics, conservative Catholics, aren't surrendering. And so the globalists declared war on the American people, and anybody that's traditionalist, well, we accept the challenge. We're going to go to break, join all the stations. I want to talk big picture with Kyle and then talk about, obviously, I agree with both of you, the cover-up's on, but that will only make this blow up 10 times bigger, in my prediction. But it's the viewers and listeners that have to understand you're the Paul Revere's. So don't just sit there and hope Bongino does his job or Patel. or Bondi. No, you do your job. You share this live feed at Real Alex Jones right now. You share the Rumble feed. You simulcast. You put it out. You take the clips out. Because it doesn't matter if they cover up this is a trans shooter. We have already blown it wide open. It doesn't matter if they cover up that Tim Walz is intimately connected to the mass shooting up there. It's already out. So we have the ball. We're winning. Paul Revere, share the live feeds right now. We'll get an update, a recap on the attempted cover-up, what happened in Minnesota, the latest numbers, praying for the families. And then I'm going to talk to Kyle about big picture and his take on the Ed Martin information. And then my dad's coming out of surgery right now. I'm going to punch out of this go and deal with this. Appreciate everybody's prayers.
Well, I'm a 10 for a half, wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texans who step in, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, into the second hour, Owen Schroyer in the InfoWars World Headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Alex Jones with us on the road. Cal Serafin with us in his studios. I will let you know, we do have a lot of news to get to today. Once we finish up with this, a lot of exclusive coverage on the show today, I'll start to get into some of the other big news like this. Tony Blair and Jared Kushner to brief Trump on Gaza post-war plans. So some other major geopolitical developments as well with these other stacks of news. But going back to Alex right now on the road and Kyle Serafin in his studio as we're all kind of responding and trying to get down to the bottom of what's happened in the aftermath of this shooting in Minneapolis.
Well, Kyle, some stations don't carry that first five, so he heard my question, though. Corporations in life, in families, in government. And, you know, Kyle over a week ago, he's like, they say they're reinstated because he's got some of the, you know, super wisdom. I got some of it. He's like, this is bull. They haven't reinstated. And I said, they are announcing as the decision's been made, you've won, even though it's a screw job. How you've won is the fact that all these FBI agents who are good men and women, and in my life and experience, the FBI agents, I've always known were really cool, smart, great people that hated tyranny. They were always telling me how bad the government was. Whether it was Ted Gunderson or anybody, it's the leadership. It's the key divisions. And so really, as a cause celeb, as an archetype, as an example, Kyle Serafin now, with all the FBI, you know, giving him all the exclusive intel that continues to be deadly accurate, is what they fear. Because if that spreads to the other agencies, the Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, the EPA everywhere, the local government, it's over. To let good men and women know, you know, it's time to blow the whistle. It's time to stand up. It's time to speak out. So that Obama running Biden was so scared of, you know, Catholics standing up and saying, you're not going to teach our kids to cut their penises off and you're not going to, you know, do all this. They said, oh, they're the terrorists. Go after them, because they want to intimidate people. And of course it backfired. So the globalists thought they were winning because we were intimidated. No, people were asleep. They still thought they were in a free country. They miscalculated. Now that people know, oh, this is a fight. We're not looking for a fight, but somebody walks up and punches me in the face. I'm not scared at that point. I'm in action. So bigger than this terrible shooting and these dead kids and this horrible trans shooter and the cover-up going on is the fact it doesn't matter they try to cover it up. It only makes it bigger because everybody out there is going to share these videos, these reports, not just on X, but on Rumble and everywhere else. And so they're failing. We're winning. But just big picture, recap your intel, what you got from law enforcement, now confirmed, trans shooter, YouTube channel, trans rage, all of this, the cover-up, where that goes, and just how nasty the left is. that they're still doing the old thing of we'll intimidate you, we'll terrorize you, we'll kill you, you'll give us access to your children to brainwash them for our cult. They can't have their cake and eat it too. And then you heard me get into Ed Martin, and this isn't nebulous secret grand juries. This is confirmed. Oh yeah, go ahead and tell people, Alex. This district of Virginia to go after the CIA and NSA. This district here, this district there. We're going after everything. Scorched earth, rampage. It took months and months to even get the group set up. They tried to block Ed Martin. He told me the other groups that are good. Who was bad? This is on record. That's off record. He's coming on soon. I gotta leave it at that. But in the internal battles, it's just amazing because when you have the inside view like I do from my angles and Seraphim from his, you know, then we combine forces. This is beautiful, folks. This is victory. You can smell it. And when courage sets fire, and when people learn to stand up and not submit and tell the truth, and not worship cult of personalities of Bongino or Patel, but support and back the truth, that's when we win. So, Kyle, I'm ranting here, but I'm going to sit here and listen to you. My dad's coming out of surgery. I'm going to go listen and deal with that. But I really appreciate you and what's happening. And we should also just talk about the general issues. It's not an undermining of Trump to say, no, he hasn't gotten control of the FBI. It's not an undermining to say he hasn't got control of the DOJ. It's the truth. And we were told by all the bots, sit down, shut up, go away. You're traitors. Trump, 60 trillion chests. No. Trump's good. He needs to hear from us. And when he does, he usually does the right thing. They want his real constituents, his real OGs, to sit down and shut up and listen to the Netanyahu lobby and the rest of them. And it's not happening. So we're at a very powerful moment right now. And basically everybody calls Seraphim spotlights now gets fired. That's good because Trump's busy. And so if Patel and Bongino, I don't know if he did, but Patel certainly decided to roll over, work with the system. Well, we're not doing it. And it shows we have people power. So we have the power. We have the ball. We have the initiative. And we're going to win if we simply do the right thing. We put Trump in to do this. He works for us. Kyle Seraphim. That's a lot, but unpack it.
Yeah, there's a lot. First of all, our prayers for your dad as he's coming out of recovery in there and the surgery, because that's a big deal. This feels like being a vulture. And when I started getting calls from people to ask and talk about this, like, it's just like... I'm nauseated. I just gave my 2-year-old a kiss and had to kick her out of the studio so I could jump on with you guys. I got my 4-year-old downstairs. I got my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old. Like I've got 4 little kids who are school aged and, you know, go to catechism. They don't go to Catholic schools right now, but they could, and their friends do in places around here. It makes me sick. Like I feel disgusted about it. It's pretty rare that I talk to one of my sources and I say, hey, how good is this intel? They usually go, oh, it's, you know, it's very likely or it's strong possibility. This is the first time that one of my sources told me something 100%. It never happens. That's 100% confirmed. And so, you know, I had this information seconds after it happens, which is nauseating. And the scariest thing is that they were really worried that this was going to get covered up and that it was going to be shoved under the rug and we weren't going to see the truth about what's going on. And the truth is that, Alex, you and I have talked privately about what the revolution looks like and how funny it is that you've got the name sitting there spinning on a little icon, InfoWars. That this is an information war, because everybody thought the war was going to look like one thing, right? Everybody thought it was kinetic. And so you have all these pictures. Everybody thought that the war for this country was going to look like what BLM was doing in 2020. And they were tearing up the streets and they were doing, you know, riots. Everybody thought that it was going to be violence in the streets, that it was going to be people uprising and pushing back and burning buildings. And what the war looks like is taking your family to church. And my wife, who grew up in New York wearing a veil now, having grown up as an atheist and having, you know, she got baptized. You may not know this, Alex, but she got baptized. And that was on Easter Sunday. It was the Easter vigil going in April of 2022. And on Monday after Easter Sunday, they came and took my badge and my gun. If you think this is not a spiritual thing for some of us that are involved in it, there's too many signs. It continues to reaffirm me that this is just like, this is basic evil. And it's not overt evil, and it's not glowing red eyes where, you know, Satan comes out and laughs at you and speaks in tongues. It's the kid that grew up down the street from you that decided that the thing that he's being whispered is that you could be something else and you could grow your hair out. And if you have long hair, you could be a girl. I just saw a track meet in Portland, Oregon, where some boy beat all the girls on the track by like 25%. He was 8 or 9 seconds ahead in a 400-meter run. And somebody, some gross lady was down there giving him a high five and reaffirming that decision for him to go and race a bunch of girls. And whether it's you're beating girls on the track or you're beating them in a sporting event at the Olympics, or you decide that you're going to go in and shoot a bunch of little kids at mass, you know, it's nauseating. And, you know, this is what the real evil looks like. And the resistance doesn't look like what people thought it does. It's not you drawing your weapons and going out in plate carriers and trying to, you know, take a building down or light things on fire. It's you protecting your family and teaching them what's right and teaching them who the person of Jesus Christ is and why the perfect man in this world died and didn't fight back. And he actually allowed it. And it's the opposite of violence and, but doesn't mean that violence is not done to him. So anyway, I'm sickened by this. I'm sickened that law enforcement is also asked to be complicit because the people that want to do law enforcement in this country, not all of them, sure, there's some jerks. There's some people that are power hungry and egotist, and we've all met them. We all know that personality type. There's a lot of people that just want to go out there and stand in the gap for their community that wake up every morning, put on their pants, and they think if something bad is going to happen, Lord, send me. Like I have a pin that says it's Isaiah 6:8. And it's that reminder. It's like, here I am. I'm available for tasking to fight against evil. We saw it at the shooting that happened in Tennessee in 2023. Some men showed up and they didn't know what was happening. And all of a sudden, like they got tapped into the Super Bowl of there's evil and you have to go liberate some children and you might have to sacrifice your life for it. And those men ran in and did the right thing. And if you watch the body cam footage, they killed it. They were so good at what they did. I think they were guided. You know, by providence, they're guided by the Holy Spirit to just go directly to that threat, put themselves in the right way and solve the problem. In this case, we're hearing that this shooter, you know, took himself out, which is the most cowardly thing you can do. You decided to go kill a bunch of little kids. Gross. Disgusting. And why? Because this society has been whispering evil and lies into your head. And this is the one thing that I've kind of landed on. And maybe Alex, maybe I'm off base here, but kids will always tell you the truth and they don't know any better. They'll ask you questions that are so innocent and true. You have my 6-year-old out there, huh? Dad, why is that man wearing a dress? Why is that man wearing a women's bathing suit? You know, and then you're a father and you don't want to lie to your kids and you just say that they're sick or they're confused or they've got problems. They will tell you the truth. They'll tell you. That's why they hate them. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's out of the mouths of babes and that's it. And as your sources told you minutes after it happened, they said, we're afraid they're going to cover it up again. That's the power that finally people in law enforcement, every level, every other place say, we can't be part of this. It's out in the open. That's why we're winning. As sad as this is, our enemies are going to do crazy things. It's a very powerful moment where people aren't going to participate in the lie anymore. So Kyle, you take over. I want to get your take.
Yeah. I'll tell you something here, Alex. One of my journalist buddies reached out to me and had a conversation with somebody inside the FBI today and shared some things that I also knew with this FBI person. And he told me that the most haunting thing that he heard is this guy said, you hear too much. So you're exactly right in identifying that moment that we're at right now. It reminds me, I'm kind of a, accidental sci-fi kind of nerd. I don't mean to be, but I've watched like all the, you know, the Firefly and I've watched Serenity and there's this moment where it's like, you can't stop the signal. That was the message that came out of the movie version. You can't stop the signal. Once it starts coming out, because truth, it comes out, and the technology now has outrun the ability of the mainstream media to basically go and tamp down on narrative. So you can't have the same mechanisms of control on people. The sleuthing that goes on. I had a CBS reporter I was talking to earlier today. He's like, he did some really good sleuthing and dug up and stuff on FBI folks. The skill set has been broadly distributed. So I've got people in my DMs that are happening like right now. Credit to guys like Mr. Guns and Gear and John Batham, like guys that are sending me pictures and saying, hey, is this the guy? And I go, yep, that's it. And I'm not going to out my sources and I don't need it for clicks or for Twitter. And I sure as shit don't want to be, you know, known for the guy that like breaks the story.
You already know.
I already knew. Yeah. And I'm just, they're just coming out and saying, hey, is this, cause I got to protect the sources that are going to share information with me. That's far more important than being like the first guy to report something. I'm not going to give the name, even though I had it before anybody else did. I'm not going to share pictures, but if you show me a picture, I'll say, yeah, that's the guy. Go do it. And now we can outsource some of this information to kind of cover up for these folks that are trying to do the right thing, which is to say, you cannot cover this.
Now let's do this. Exactly. Your phone's blown up. Take a break. KyleServerShow.com for 10, 15 minutes. Whenever you're ready, call back in because get your new data, the latest data. Come back on with us. And while that's going on, Owen can cover other news and things that are happening. But again, this is bigger than the kids that are killed. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's the cover up. It's good FBI calling you saying, well, there's a cover up. We think there's a cover up. That's the instinct that's going to bring this down. And it's just like dominoes. Once this courage wave happens and it's happening, it's over. And so we are so close. I can feel it. I can see it. And after I'm gone, comment on the grand juries that are now open. They weren't open 8 years ago. That was all cue lies. This is real. Doesn't mean it's done. We got to keep putting pressure on, but I get people at parks and grocery stores. You better get them indicted like I'm doing it. No, I'm under attack. Don't put me in prison. I want to put them in prison more than you do. But I'm glad to see the public that pissed off. And I understand Owen was in prison and is a little jaded. I'm telling you, I've been doing this 31 years. I'm seeing us move the needle violently against the enemy. Keep praying, keep focused, keep pressure on, because we're so close, because we can be black-pilled and think nothing's ever going to happen when we're finally catching fire. So, Kyle, spend a few minutes, closing statement for now. I'm just saying, I know you got a lot to get. Spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you need, but promise you're going to come back with the new information and the latest updates for folks. Kyle Serafin. All right, Kyle, you got the floor. Owen, you got the floor. Kyle, come back 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you need, 30 minutes. Give us the latest. I know your phone's loaded. Thank you so much, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, I'm just looking at seeing what some of this stuff is. Look, at the end of the day, it's going to be people who care about truth that's going to bring anything down. And I'm also just oscillating between waves of nausea and feeling terrible about, you know, I went to Catholic schools. I sat in mass when I was a kid, and this didn't happen then. So we have a sickness in society, and I think a lot of it comes through.
You cannot, I understand you are a real person, so you have empathy, but we're in a war. They're going to misrepresent and say it's a Trump supporter with fake info soon or something like that. I understand you're nauseated right now, but you've got the truth. You've got it. You broke it. People cared enough to tell you because they were worried. So I understand that. We are in control of the narrative. We're in control of the truth. It's going to blow up in their face. So I understand that. But just get the info out and attack the enemy with the truth. God bless you.
All right. So a couple, let's see, about an hour and a half ago, I put out a tweet. This is on X. And the statement was, I'm told the alleged shooter at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis is a trans-identified male by the name of Robert, a.k.a. Robin Westman. We withheld the name at the time to be able to make sure that the rest of the folks that could find figure it out. ID photo showed a white male. You guys have looked. That's the ID photo. That's who we're talking about. This is the person they're looking at. Long hair. Long hair does not make you a girl. And anybody who says otherwise, I can't tell the age on that. Deceased by gunshot wound to self and targeted children. We're seeing some other stuff that says that he had video channels like so many people. Was out there trying to express himself using things like Russian, which I'm told could be used as memes and gamer stuff, but also might mean that he speaks Russian. You know, it's obviously an evolving situation. There are people's babies who will never come home. So that's all disgusting. But all of this reeks of the same evil that comes down from years of it. You can't excuse it. We saw cover-ups. We saw the Justice Department complicit in it under the previous administration, where they did not go and find people from James Revenge who were firebombing churches and abortion crisis centers for people who wanted to have their baby and were worried about it. And so this is the spiritual piece of it. There's a legitimate, obvious connection between targeting specific churches. There's this meme that I remember that somebody said, as a Catholic, we don't question it. But whenever you see Hollywood represent the devil and how you fight the devil, it's with the traditional Latin mass. It's not a coincidence to me that in February of 2023, I exposed that the FBI was targeting traditional Latin mass Catholics, that they were using it more broadly to go after Christians, no matter what denomination, because the person who saw this and is appalled was not a Catholic and certainly not a Latin mass Catholic. And then more broadly, all people who hold basic pro-life and conservative values, the things that were mentioned by our FBI, which was just a mouthpiece for something much, much bigger, was saying that conservatives who have a problem with immigration not being completely unfettered and actually closing the border was an issue. And all of those things could make you a white supremacist, that evil thing that says that you're going to be a bigot and that you're going to basically identify people by skin color. This is a very narrow little piece of it. Alex talking about a war fine. This is one of the battles that continues to go on. And it's a narrative battle right now. And that's why people are reaching out and saying, hey, we need to make sure that we have this. And as you've appropriately stated, the audience is actually participating in this today in a way that has not happened. It didn't happen in 2020 because of the censorship. So we've got the freedom of people like Elon Musk who have liberated the ability for people just to say it, even if they don't like what it said. We got to be cautious and judicious with this power to share information because we could have things that were untrue, but never that I can recall since I've been a public figure did one of my people reach out and say this is a 100% fact. and you've got a trans-identified dude who apparently was involved. I've got the mom's social media. We haven't mined it yet, but apparently the mom's social media was out there, and she was participating in court cases to help change the name. So this person may have legally changed his name from Robert to Robin. And reaffirming delusion and reaffirming lies is where this comes down. If you tell people things that are not true about themselves, about reality, then they will act like reality is not real, and they will go after people that are the most innocent, that only know about things. They don't know about constructs. Our children, if any of you have them, you know what I'm talking about. Under 10 years old, they're not indoctrinated by societal's ideas that a man could become a woman or a woman could become a man. And, you know, that's an adult idea. And that's why I think kids are always, always addressed. That's why they're always the target in these things. So you're starting to see some of this stuff flow out. What we're going to see is an evolving situation where a combination of citizen journalist types, which is just to say people who care, and guys like me who have sourcing inside law enforcement, you're going to see law enforcement as well, and you're going to see the machine push back, because this is not a comfortable narrative. And nobody wants to go and place the blame on it, but you can see a direct line from lying about reality, not punishing people that were involved in petty crimes. This is more broadly, Alex, if you want to get real specific, the whole idea of broken window pane policing, and they have to shut down crime at the local level. I don't think the federal government's the right tool for it. I think it's like a tourniquet on a big bleed. But you have to address small crimes because they become big crimes. People who are doing, you know, wheelie gangs and riding around Baltimore City 13 years ago end up having carjackings in Washington, D.C., and they're the same people that are riding the ATVs around, and they all look the same, and they all come from the same background. Why? Because small crimes were tolerated. Violence against churches was tolerated under the Biden administration. Zero question about it. People can go to CatholicVote.org, and they have an unrequited, unindicted list of Catholic churches that were interrupted and destroyed in mass, and pro-life crisis pregnancy centers that were of all denominations. They weren't just Catholic. They were Christians most broadly, who think that abortion is evil and killing babies is evil. And if you think it's okay for them to be killed in the womb, suddenly you find out they don't mind killing them after the fact either. And so, you know, all this stuff is like, it grows out of the father of lies. I'm feeling particularly spiritually connected to this stuff right now. And like I said, the religious nature of it is so obvious when they attack a church. When anybody attacks a church, and there have been hundreds of these things that have happened over the past, let's say, 4 years. And if you don't go after the perpetrators of them, all they do is get emboldened, and they do something that's more aggressive. So the men that understand what this is, guys, this is the time. Everybody wants to stay away from violence. Nobody wants to get involved in it. Nobody wants to see that person that lives peacefully with their kids and sits at home and doesn't engage in the conflict part of it. You know, like, because if we go get engaged, that's the part where part of yourself is going to have to die. I think that's what men saw in 2020, and that's why they were resistant to speak out in 2021. And that time is over. You have to speak. You have to know things. Thank God there's a couple of people that are willing to come out and speak to me. I'm willing to share it with you. It's not fun. It's not something to be excited about. Like, nobody wants to be the person that breaks this story. Nobody wants to be the person that first says it and puts pressure on. But if we don't put pressure on people, then they don't act. And that's what we've seen. Cash Patel, same story. You show that. I literally clicked and pulled his press release simply to let him know that people know, and you can't hide the narrative. In the same way he lied about reinstating whistleblowers, they're willing to lie about anything because the people that are advising these guys do not have America's best interests at heart. That has nothing to do with the people that are on the street, maybe that are doing an investigation and realize the problem. We found out a lot of people are willing to follow orders in 2020 and 2021. And some people weren't. And those people have paid pretty heavily. Luckily, we had kind of a redemption moment. I would say vindication, but not justice. It wasn't victory yesterday. But, you know, there's movement. Alex is not wrong. There is an undercurrent of movement happening right now. It's really, really heavy. It's weighing on me more than normal. And so anyway, now we're going to cut the break for a second here, but that's my thoughts on the matter. This is like the open skirmish that is happening currently right now. And it's on every front, and mostly it feels spiritual.
All right. We have a statement from President Trump we're going to be addressing. I'm monitoring all the breaking news as far as this concerned, and then kind of cross-referencing it with what we've seen online or on this show today. And I think what Kyle said, I kind of want to expand on that in my analysis coming back, which is the technology is now outpacing the mainstream media. And I guess it's kind of a different factor, but technology is now also outpacing the federal cover-up, I guess you would kind of say. Yes. So we'll be right back.
Absolutely.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again.
I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take 2 of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
All right, riding solo now, and I want to do some kind of final analysis of this. If we get any more information, I'll let you know. Or if Alex or Kyle rejoins us, we'll bring you that information as well. I do have a lot of other news to get to. But to kind of wrap this up, I'm quite stunned, actually, because, as Kyle put it, the velocity of technology is now lapping the mainstream media and the federal government. Now, I got to be very, very thoughtful about how I'm going to present this to you. But I'll put it to you like this. And my crew has already done this today, but you now see it's basically all over the alternative media, everything that Kyle Serafin was reporting hours ago and then has been breaking down with Alex Jones in an hour and a half now of the Alex Jones Show. And then I can tell you that there are other videos and photos that you'll likely be seeing very soon as well with the alternative media. Now, the minute, whenever, or if ever, I guess, at this point, they decide to confirm all of this publicly, then we're dealing with something that we have to really question why. If all this alternative media was able to gather this information, if my own crew, just doing their digging and the work that they do, was able to gather a lot of this information, if sources close to the situation were able to share this information with Kyle Serafin, and by the way, President Trump just issued this statement, "I have been fully briefed on the tragic shooting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The FBI quickly responded, and they are on the scene. The White House will continue to monitor this terrible situation. Please join me in praying for everyone involved." Well, folks, if all of these other people can already have access to this information and archive this information, and now a lot of them sharing this information, then 100% they could have presented this information to the public. 100%. Now, I could sit here and say, well, let's hear their reasoning why they wouldn't, and surely there could be a good reason for that. Ongoing investigations and other such things. The shooter is dead. But if they refuse, because this is nowhere on network news, nowhere on network news, no mainstream networks are covering this, nothing from the government at any level, local, federal, White House, FBI, none of them. And yet the alternative media, the free press, has already basically completed the first half. Like, we're already in the locker room at halftime on this deal, and the government and the mainstream media is still in the warm-up phase. So you could sit here and say, okay, that's just the pace now of the modern media, or you could say they've been covering this up from the outset. And so I don't really see how you can slice this any other way, Alex.
Well, Owen, again, I'm so sad for the dead children. I'm so sad for everything that's happened. But the bigger issue here is that the globalists are losing control of the narratives, just like you were just saying, just like you were just breaking down. And it doesn't matter what they do at this point, because the people know that they're being lied to. They understand that, and we have the big audiences, and we have the truth. You have FBI calling Kyle 10 minutes after it happens and saying, it's this trans shooter, this is his name, and now it's all confirmed, and we're afraid there's going to be a cover-up. That's the spirit we need, because the system can't do this if people at the corporate level, government level, law enforcement level don't play ball. They have to get us to play along to do this. And so Trump's getting briefed all day. He's getting all sorts of stuff. He doesn't know what's happening. There's some good in the government, some bad. That part doesn't matter. The point is that they can only get away with this stuff in the past if we weren't here. That's what they said in corporate documents and government documents and congressional documents. Jones keeps changing the narrative. Well, yeah, but just challenge narratives. They didn't make sense. Like Jussie Smollett, it looks fake. It was fake. So the good news is they don't have the ball anymore. We have the initiative. We have to get the listeners and viewers to understand we have the initiative and create a domino effect of this mass awakening to blow the whistle and not go along with false narratives. So they've got a big problem on their hands. And as it comes out, this guy's a trans shooter, like most mass shooters now, they're going to try to shut this down. Well, we're not going to let it go away like Lincoln Riley or others. We're going to continue to hammer this and how they tried to cover it up. But undoubtedly, you and Serafin are right. This is an attempted ongoing cover-up. But we know the truth, and it's not going to go away. So just realize that, sure, you know, Patel, whatever, decide to soft-roll stuff. They get blackmailed, whatever it is. They don't matter. They're getting ready to get rid of them. That's why they brought in the AG of Missouri. Not because Bongino's leaving, because they're getting ready to get rid of Patel. But we're going to go through this process when we finally take the government over of saying who's real, who isn't, who will go to war, who won't. This is the process. The thing is, the process is happening now. There were no grand juries the first Trump administration. Now there are. So it's a vetting process. At least we're going to war now. At least this is what you really see when this happens. So they conjured this lawlessness. They conjured this war. They conjured all this evil. And they think they're going to be able to control these narratives. They're not. So in closing, I'll just say this. We're in total war with the deep state. We're suing the hell out of them. They're trying to shut us down in state court. We're winning. But it's literally your support, your word of mouth, your prayer, your fighting that does it. So go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get our methylene blue. Get our Irish sea moss. Get our Shilajit. Get it. It's game changing. Just take it and you'll go, oh my God, why did I take this before? Shilajit and Irish sea moss takes a week or two to kick in. The damn methylene blue is so good for it, it kicks in like 30 minutes on average. Just go do it. You want people to fight. You want a war. You want to do it. This is it. But you got to back the people that are standing with you. You got until Friday to whether you get Gladiator, get 50X, you know, entries for everything you purchase. And it's and in this next few days, you get, oh, by the way, today's the last day, $10 on top at checkout of all the sales off your bill. We want to incentivize you to get the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox, the atomic defense, super immune boosting. We want you to get it because once you get it, you'll love it. We have an 80%+ reorder methylene blue, 70%+ reorder on the other supplements. Nobody has that because they work. TheAlexJonesStore.com. It takes money to fight and win a war. You have the methyl drive. The power plant, it's way stronger than Turbo Force. Turbo Force is great. This is even stronger. If you love that, get the methyl drive and the power plant. They're both great individually. We have the highest quality bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of milk out of a mammal is full. These peptides are amazing. Get it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, my dad's out of surgery. Thanks for all your prayers. I'm going to go deal with this. Health service coming back. He had to get a bunch of calls. New intel. There is an attempt to take over. There is an attempt to cover up. There is an attempt to blackballing and a blackout the truth. But you are unstoppable. You have the power. You're sharing live feed from our Lux shows right now. You're sharing live feed from Infowars.com/show. You are the resistance. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the feed. Share the clips and win and expose these leftist terrorist armies and the defunding the police and all the lawlessness they have planned. Then when Trump responds to it, they go, he's a dictator. People aren't buying it. We're winning. They're losing. Owen Schroyer. Kyle Serafin, all the news you got coming up, take over now. But I hand the baton to the listeners and viewers on all those hundreds of radio stations. Share the feed now to everybody you know on text message, email, and tell those you share it to share it, because that completes the chain reaction. The ball's in your court now. God bless and good luck.
All right. Thank you, Alex. So with the remainder here of this hour, we'll continue some of this coverage. And if I get any other information from Kyle Serafin, I'll share it with you. But, I'm watching this now. It's been really about 2-3 hours since this has hit the airwaves, dominated the airwaves. And I don't know how else to explain this. The local police or the FBI is going to have to. So it's really not up to me to do it, but I don't know how else to explain this other than to say the cover up is already on. The cover up started as soon as the shooter was dead and the feds were on the scene, because now local news is reporting it. The images, the videos are all over the internet. And again, folks, I mean, let's just say if it all comes true, this is going to be one of the worst looks we've seen in response from the media, the mainstream media, and our federal government. And they're going to have to explain why. They're going to have to explain why. Now imagine, and isn't it so telling? Isn't this such a consistent narrative of where you're at right now? If you follow the mainstream news, or if you trust your government to keep you informed and updated, well, guess what? You don't know anything. You don't have a damn clue. Whereas if you do your own research, if you find your own independent sources, if you go to the alternative media, if you're on X, you're already ahead of everyone else. So apparently, including the mainstream media and the feds, which I don't think anybody believes that. But you look at it face value, surface level, that's supposedly the case. So if you follow the big legacy mainstream media, you follow the government updates, you literally know nothing. But if you're following the free press, the independent press, the alternative press, you have more information than they do. So if or when all of this is confirmed, this is going to be a really bad look. They're going to have to explain themselves. Because this is ridiculous. And here's why it's even more ridiculous. And this is why this is going to get ugly, folks. The images and the videos associated with the alleged, we'll say now, till it's confirmed, I suppose, by our trusted, loving government. The images and videos are about as bad as it gets. It's the kind of stuff where you'd assume if you were doing this stuff, it's hard to believe that the feds or somebody wouldn't show up knocking on your door saying, hey, what's going on? So we're talking about publicly available content, very disturbing stuff, like if there's going to be a horror movie about a mass shooting, like this is the villain arc. Shooting videos about guns and killing people and writing weird stuff on the magazines and everything else. It's like, it's all there. It's all out there. We've already archived the videos. They're all gone off YouTube now. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Somebody knows. Somebody gave the command. I mean, if we don't get that information, they probably scrubbed all those videos off the internet before anybody saw them. Think about that. Because what would you say, guys? It was like minutes after you were able to archive all the stuff that it was shut down. It's about an hour ago. Yeah. It's about an hour ago. We're about to be rejoined by Kyle here. Kyle, so I'm just looking at this. And hey, I'm willing... I'll just say in fairness, in the gravity of the moment here, that I'm willing to give benefit of the doubt, okay? But if they don't come out in the next press conference and start to divulge some of this information, then we're talking about one of the biggest cover-ups ever. Because not only is it something where they had the information and then they withheld it from the American people, now how bad is the FBI going to look when all of these videos come out and they confirm this is the guy, and it's like, you're telling me, oh, what are they? Are we going to get the same thing? Oh, he was known to the FBI. It's like, well, when does that come out? Right? I mean, this is looking really, really bad. And so I'm just sitting here, and you put it so succinctly that no mainstream news networks have this, no government updates have this. Now it's all over the free press, the independent press, the alternative press. They tried to erase everything this individual posted online, and they were hoping they could do that before anybody found out who it was. I mean, Kyle, I'm floored. I think we just caught one of the biggest cover-ups in real time, and they didn't think we could move rapidly enough to defeat them at their own game, and now they've lost. And if they don't come out and clear this up by the end of the day, this is a really, I mean, this is a horrific look.
Yeah. Well, let's do a couple of things. Number one, you're talking about the FBI, which everybody thinks is a law enforcement agency. And I continue to tell you guys, and I know it's not foreign to you, it's an intel agency that also does law enforcement. So that's part one. Part two, I shared a link with the producers there, but my friends at Catholic Vote have been following this since 2000 and like May of 2020. So this was a BLM Antifa movement aggression towards Catholic churches specifically. I think they have like almost 500 documented instances of going after this stuff. That's pretty wild. But let's go into something that's even like a little bit more broadly, talking about the information thing. You'll notice that the folks know right away, everybody who's in part of the free press, everybody who wants to be somebody that's going to sort of push back against government narrative, they know they have to archive this stuff immediately. They have to go and find a secondary way of holding on to it. So they're going to pull it down to a Google Drive. They're going to send it onto the Internet Archives and the Wayback Machine. We're talking about people that realize what the implication of Bronze Griffin is. And that goes to the Twitter files and sort of the freer media and the free ability to do it. I'm going to tell you real clearly, Owen, that breaking stories is not my jam. It's not what I do. Like, I do commentary and, you know, I'm happy to break stories about my friends if it helps. And I'm happy to tell your story if it helps. And I'm happy to tell people background information that they didn't know and do analysis. But going out and ripping a story open, like, it kind of makes me sick because I have to move quicker than I want to. And on this one in particular, the movement was, if you don't share this, then it might not get out at all. You know, maybe it does. Maybe it leaks out there. We're seeing Charlie Kirk is running it. We see Nick Sorter's running it. We see all the sort of free press over on X doing it. That's great. I see guys like Mr. Guns and Gear and Michael Henry, and he's out there archiving it, and others, like people who have sources are tapping it, but they knew where to look. But when the FBI has a vested interest in maintaining quiet, and by the FBI, I'm just talking about, like, they were considered, remember what Matt Taibbi called them, the belly button of the intelligence agency. Why does the FBI care about the truth? Why would the media not care? The broadstream, you know, the MSNBCs and the CBS and the ABC, like, why would they have a vested interest in what is being told as news? Don't you want to break the story? You'd think that that's what people used to do. And I grew up in a news family where that was the goal. The first burn to it with accurate information wins. So maybe they couldn't validate it, but if their sources are not as good as mine, shame on them. Like, what are they doing in this game? And we talk about what happened in the Twitter files release where Elon Musk kind of opened the books to a couple of independent journalists. And what they showed is the FBI was the front runner for all the 17 intel agencies behind them to come out there and interface. And they recruited sources that there was a project and it was called Operation Bronze Griffin, or maybe the name of the source was called Bronze Griffin. So there was a vested interest by the intel community to come in and control media, social media more broadly. They wanted people to be able, they wanted to be able to maintain information flow. And like, that's what totalitarians do. And that doesn't mean that the elected government is necessarily in charge. All of that stuff is highly relevant. And as you pointed out, and I'm saying the same thing, our technology and our instinct now is really a big piece of it, is outrunning the narrative control mechanism. So that doesn't mean that they won't fire back. This is obviously something that we could be at in front or behind of at the moment right now. You're seeing even post-millennials, so Andy Ngo's outfit is out there doing it too. They're all running out and getting these stories, and they're confirming it faster than any mainstream and anybody from the government agencies. They're not giving us the story. Maybe that's because they're government agencies, and they need to wait for an official approved for press release, and they've got all kinds of other things. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And we're seeing people cover it, and we're seeing people not cover it. And we can only infer what that means, but it's a telling pattern because we've seen this movie before. And that's why the independents are out there archiving and grabbing.
You know,
everything I see about this guy sounds like he was connected to like gamer culture. I think I was sharing some stuff with you. I had former FBI agents reach out and share screen grabs of videos. And it's like, when you see someone writing things on an AR-15, when they're writing what, you know, it's not demonic symbols, but they might as well be. I saw Kill Trump on one of his optics. I saw things saying 6 million is not enough. So a reference to like the Holocaust, it sounds like ideology is all over the place. But it reminds me of every single, like you said, the villain arc of a mass shooter, like satanic mass shooter type person or someone that's possessed by some evil force. Who the hell writes all over their guns? I've got probably close to 100 guns. I don't have written things on any of them except one of them.
And that's
like
what I'm saying. And then, you know, the backdrop that you're talking about, it's like, oh, the feds will have no problem targeting a Catholic church. The feds will have no problem targeting some pro-life parents or targeting parents that don't want their kids to be, you know, taught the progressive radical gender ideology in schools. They have no problem targeting them, but it's like, here's this guy posting videos and posting photos. Like, I mean, mass shooter villain arc, right? I mean, it's all right there. They thought they could scrub it off the internet before anybody found it. We got it. And it's like, but we're not monitoring him. Like, we're not, we're not following up with him. And let me just say one more thing, because it's so funny what you were saying there, because you mentioned how it was like a movie, and I couldn't help it. It just went in my head. And I'm sure you've seen the movie Moana. You've got kids. Mm-hmm. You say, well, you know, I'm not in the business of being the first to break the news. A lot of risk comes with that. A lot of risk comes with that. And let's just say nobody understands that risk probably more than InfoWars here. And so I'm sitting here. It's like, at the end of Moana, I'm sorry for people that haven't seen it. I guess everybody probably has. He has the magic fish hook, just magical fish hook, right? But it's about to break. And he's like, I can't do this anymore, because when my magic fish hook breaks, I'm out. I have no magic anymore. I'm no good to you. So I can't help you. I've got my fish hook is about to break. And it's like, you know, InfoWars, they could shut us down any day. I don't talk about it a lot, but I mean, they're trying to Jones me right now. I'm in legal defense. They're politically trying to take everything I own. They're politically trying to do exactly to me what they've done to Jones. So I'm like, I'm sitting up here like, our magic fish hook is about to break, except this isn't a movie. And when they shut this place down, it's done. Or if they put me in prison forever, whatever the case is, it's like, this isn't a movie. It's, there's no magic fish hook coming back. It's over when they close the doors here. Now we can start a new thing. But it's like, now I look around and it's like, oh, everybody's got a magic fish hook. It's like, oh, we've got a bunch of different Mauis out here with the power, with the ability to strike back against the Empire, let's say, for another movie analogy. And I guess that just because, I mean, you understand how this works from the federal level. I really understand how it works from the media level. Now you've got experience in media. You understand it too. Folks, I'm telling you, I think that this is a paramount moment, I think, for the alternative press versus the mainstream media and what would have been, I think, a federal government, a cover-up. And there's not only one person out there with the magical ability to defeat this. We have an entire collective now. And it's like you said, we have the right instincts. We have the right movements. I guess good thing for people like you and the people that you know. We have the right people in the right places to make sure that we can run these things. But I mean, this is just incredible. I mean, it seems like we've got a pretty good idea here, to put it lightly. And nobody from the legacy media, no government reports. They don't want to touch.
Are you guys watching that? NBC, ABC, CBS, none of them are reporting it. Fox, none of that.
I've not seen it on any of the mainstream news. I haven't been monitoring it.
So the thing, and I thought you were going to go a different way with the fishhook, but there is something to be said about people have always, warriors have always decorated their weapons with certain iconography occasionally, and people put on their favorite scripture. In fact, if you guys had an ACOG and you were in the global war on terror, you know that they actually used to put biblical verses on all of the ACOGs, which were the optics on top of the AR-15s and the M4s that went into combat spaces. They're M4s, not AR-15s. People have always marked things with their, you know, God guide my weapons. People would write messages on bombs and things like that. When you see someone writing things that look pretty evil, it reminded, like, that's the Maui fish hook too, right? Wasn't he covered with all those sort of pagan symbols all over it too? And so people sort of tell you a lot about the way they think they're going into war. How interesting is that as well? Agreed. We have a collective of people that are now gathering it, but the only reason we have it is because they grabbed it before it got scrubbed. And because there is an intelligence community capability to go in and say, hey, by the way, Reddit, why don't you pull all the threads down?
I'm so glad you went there. We're up against the break. I don't know. Are you with us the next segment?
Sure.
So I'm so glad you went there, because that's what I was going to ask you next is, what's that process like to get this stuff removed from the internet? Because I mean, I'm assuming that's federal involvement.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too, to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
explain to people that my tongue is blue. Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, I'm going to cut through the liner here. Kyle Serafin with us. He was just mentioning this before we went to the break, and it was where I was going to go next, so it just shows how we're kind of on the same page here. I'm assuming that considering all those videos were taken down off of at least YouTube, some people have archived them. I know we have. Now they're actually starting to make their way onto X and other platforms that are posting them. To me, that indicates, one, there is some connection here to the case. I think that confirms there is some connection here. And then, two, from your federal background, what is that process like? Somebody made the call to YouTube, or how does that process go?
Yeah, you don't even have to speculate on what the process looks like. We can just talk about it real plainly, because the House Judiciary Committee did a report on it November 4th of 2022, and they came forward and identified what the actual FBI op is called, and it's called Operation Bronze Griffin, and that involved confidential human informants that were in specific positions around big tech. So we got a lot of this stuff from the Twitter files when it came out, and I'm kind of becoming this mini archive of all the crazy things. And if you don't have a memory to remember all the little dots that are connected, and you didn't live through it the way that I did, where I'm so siloed into like specific types of information, then you don't remember it. But Bronze Griffin was the program where the FBI would interface with big tech companies and they would accomplish a goal. Now, one of the things we saw was like spreadsheets of tens of thousands of Americans' names, and they got censored on things like X, and they got censored on Parler, and they got censored on YouTube, and they got censored on, other stuff like Facebook. And so all this stuff was all happening. And that was part of the big reveal, because we got to see even more of that when Matt Taibbi and some of the others came forward and showed the Twitter file, Schellenberger and whatnot. Those guys ended up testifying about it. I've had people that were in the meetings talking to Silicon Valley executives. They were in a meeting, let's say, with the senior vice president from Reddit. And it's an FBI meeting with a guy named Elvis Chan, who's been retired out, but the Trump administration let him retire. He didn't get kicked out. He didn't get fired. He got to walk away and keep his pension. Maybe that's justified. Maybe not. Maybe he should be prosecuted. And the thing that he would do is he would have them on there, and he was like, look, you know, the FBI can only investigate federal crimes, but we could always tell you if something looks like it violates your terms of service, and then you guys could make a good decision on whether or not that violates your terms of service. So your tax dollars, very specifically for the mechanism, Owen, the tax dollars that you pay are funding a federal government that is tipping off these tech companies, hey, this thing that we don't like is also violating your terms of service, and it's glorifying violence, or it's saying things about weapons, or it's using, you know, pictures, whatever. So yeah, these people got away with it, and then they kind of tip their hand, don't they? Because these things disappear off the internet shortly after people start realizing that this person was involved in some sort of violence or the feds are involved. So that mechanism is well established, and as far as I know, has never been destroyed, and we've never heard Kash Patel even talk about it. But it is a threat to American liberty, and it's also kind of a threat to like the way the press is supposed to work. Why are we taking this stuff down when it's now public record? It doesn't need to go away. And as you said, we have the instinct right now, and the sort of conglomerate of people that are in the new media and that are in the independent press are going, oh, we got to go archive this stuff right away, because otherwise we're not going to have access to this, to the firsthand material. Like, there's nothing better than primary source. And so you can go find out what somebody said in their own words, as long as you have it. You can go find out. They immediately lock it down. And it's obviously not going to be the guy who did it, because he's dead from everything we're told. And that's how we know that there's another hand involved.
Isn't it funny, too, where you take a case like mine, when the feds are coming after me, they weren't online erasing all my content. They didn't go online and, well, I guess they did censor InfoWars, but that's not the point. Like, they didn't go online and delete all my shows. They didn't go online and say, hey, make sure any video from Schroyer at January 6th is non-existent. Why would they? So why would they do that for this deal? Why? And again, it all points into one direction, which is right out of the gates, it was, we got to cover this up. I don't know. Right. I don't know how else to respond to this. I can't think of a better guy to respond to this, as you and Alex. We got 30 seconds left till this break, Alex.
Get off here, and I appreciate Colin, your time, everybody watching right now, share this live feed. That's the real power. But I just want to put a bookend on this, because I was up in the hospital, you know, with family and stuff, and I was thinking about this, and it really hit me. You guys have both already said it, but I'm always right when I intellectually and gut level spiritually know something. Today was a bellwether event. Bigger than Kyle, you know, and his action getting all these FBI agents reinstated. This was a big deal. I'm explaining. We come back in 60 seconds.
Well, I'm a tin foil hat wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free one, looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
And today it was hours before it happened, and now it's everywhere. Alex rejoining us here in the third hour of The Alex Jones Show. Owen Troyer in the InfoWars studio, Kyle Serafin in his studios as well. And Alex, you're breaking down the conversation that we've been having today. And I mean, to me, it's just innate. I would say it's just instinctual. As we're sitting here watching this, we know moments. And to me, living through this right now, it's like, okay, no, we're in a big moment right now.
We are. That's the point I wanted to make. And I'm never wrong when it's obvious. But we've been through a long process of corporate media, mockingbird media, establishment media being discredited. But today is an absolute case point example, microcosm of Kyle Serafin, the highly respected FBI whistleblower, who has all these good people in the government that want to be part of the truth. Instantly, you know, within 20 minutes of this terrible attack on Catholic school kids at mass being murdered by this trans terrorist, calling Kyle and sending him the photo, the ID, the information, saying, we think the cover-up is happening now. Now, here we are, 4 hours later, and institutionally, whoever's to blame, they're trying to cover it up again. So our instincts are confirmed. But the good news is, as you said, even though Kyle got the proof and we waited and broke it first, then by the time we'd done it, everybody else with human intelligence had dug it all up, even worse than what Kyle's FBI sources told him. So this is bigger than these dead kids, and they really matter. Their parents matter. It's terrible. But the bigger story here is that we're not in the old ball game where the system can just cover up and things have gotten way ahead of them. And they thought that all this surveillance systems and would control us. But instead, the hole they dug for us, the Bible says, has been the pit that they've fallen into. But it is the example, and I keep bringing this up, not because he's been so accurate, that's why, but bigger than that, that's secondary. is because the example of a Kyle Serafin losing his job, being demonized, grand jury trying to put him in prison, him not backing down, now his gun belt's notched, not out of vengeance, but out of justice, with dozens and dozens of globalist operatives in the Justice Department, FBI. And as that credibility grows, he'll get more whistleblowers coming to him as they understand there's finally a place to tell the truth. And if they kill Kyle Serafin, which I'm saying is going to happen, or you know, he dies by a bolt of lightning, or me or you, now people understand and instinct to just instantly report to the public that this was an attempted cover-up by the FBI insiders that are good people is the very essence of the globalists, you know, being defeated. So that's what I wanted to basically get to here. What I wanted to say is that we have seen another attempted cover-up, obviously by the corporate media, but obviously by higher level up in the FBI, that the instinct of the FBI agents on the ground to tell the truth and to get this information out. And so it's going to be that instinct to not think about what's going to happen to you or no, just this is the right thing to do. I'm going to tell the truth. I never want to tell the truth or I have a guest on that's something really dangerous. I don't think, well, it's going to happen to me. I just go, it's the right thing to do. I believe in God. Justice be done, may the heavens fall. And it's that spiritual instinct to tell the truth and to do the right thing that evil can't stop. Because if good people simply follow their spiritual instincts, the Holy Spirit, if good people simply do the right thing, we're always going to have the jump on the bad guys. And so that's what I wanted to say here is this is an epic fail of the system to cover this up. It's going to be a huge scandal. We need to find out who was behind it. And the truth is we're the media now. We are the media. We've been the media for a long time. So you guys said this hour one. I said it as well. But now it's confirmed that their narrative control is blown in their face. And what are they going to do? And again, this is going to cause more whistleblowers, more people to go to Ed Martin, more grand juries. The worm is turning, but the enemy's very dangerous right now. So who knows what they're going to try to stage?
Well, Alex, you just said something so key, and I want you to kind of expand on this. So let me put this thought into your head to expand on. If you go back to the censorship when they hit you and they hit InfoWars and they took all of, you know, InfoWars satellites like my YouTube channel down. And then people were like confused at the time, you know, Paul Joseph Watson was with us, had a big YouTube channel and they didn't hit him. They're saying, oh, why is that? And I explained at the time, the reason is because they were targeting people that go live during breaking events. So InfoWar was always live. You'd go live. I'd fire up a live stream if there was breaking news at midnight, whatever. So they understood at that time, they said, we have to go after people that are live reporting news in that first moment of truth, in that first stage.
And that's why you just hit it.
That's why it's so important that when they came out and did these first couple press conferences, and really with every passing minute, the cover-up is successful. It's the first wave. It's the first wave of information that people are looking for. It's who's breaking the news first, who's going to get the jump. So they've already covered it up. Now, we're winning because we're out here showing the dead media. We're out here showing that there was a cover-up. But it's like, no, they already did it. They already did it. Everyone wanted to see the first press conference, and they didn't announce it. They deleted all of the stuff. So, but that's what it is. They don't want people in the arena at the time of the ball game. When the game's over, they'll say, oh yeah, come onto the court, have some slam dunks. But while the game is going on, they don't want us here.
You totally nailed it. And that came out in the House Armed Services Committee hearings in 2018. We were like, we got to shut Jones down. He keeps changing narratives. Yeah, and I'm almost always right. I'm not like creating a new narrative to be a jerk. I'm like, Smollett, you believe this story? You believe this story? I mean, it's just that we're common sense. People resonate with it. And you're absolutely right. They don't control the narrative. And today, they have had their ass shut down within hours, thanks to Kyle Serafin and thanks to the FBI agents that called him with the truth, which is an example of now the people that felt alone and didn't know whether they should do something. We need this everywhere. I tell my crew, you know, so much of my crew has been great over the years. They're like, something bad happens. Don't tell Alex. No, I promote people that tell me when something's bad happening. I want to know about it. I want the truth. I want raw intel. I want to know. If I'm getting something wrong, pop in my ear and tell me. I'm like, oh, God, I got that wrong. So Because I have nothing to hide. Exactly. So this is transparency. This is sunshine. This is a big event, folks. We can't, they're going to try to shut this down, make it go away now because it's come out as a trans shooter. No, we've got to really force this because it's another example of how they have no narrative control. And it's disgusting. And maybe Kyle can speak to who he thinks is behind this. And then I asked him earlier, I know he was busy, but I'm going to get off here and listen now and go back to the hospital with my dad. But Ed Martin's got a long record. They were scared of him. They wouldn't confirm it. He's got a task force. They've got these grand juries open. They're going to try to put pressure on the grand juries. You know, the deep state does that. The CIA's been caught spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee and others when they investigated them. So we know that's going to happen. I'm not saying indictments are going to happen now, but we finally have grand juries open, which never happened before. I know the Q folks said they did, but that was all imaginary. These are real public things. I want to get Servin's overall view and his take from his sources on that. The reinstatement of these FBI agents, even though it's minimal, that just shows the power of the people. God bless you, Owen. Owen, you got even more coming up. And I just really am honored to work with both of you guys and the viewers and listeners because being around people with integrity, and I like Kyle Servin years ago when he was a whistleblower. I thought this guy's great. And he would make these statements, and I was like, how do you know that? How do you know this? How do you break that? And because I want to be the guy that knows stuff ahead of the horizon, and I am in other areas really good at that. But I got to say, it's not an ass-kicking contest. We need to recognize people that have that gift of integrating all the information. You know, good cops call it a hunch. It's not a hunch. The cerebral cortex is a narrow focus of the subconscious mind with all the data you have. So wisdom is not just something, it's not you just got it ethereally. It's all the data, but it's so complex you can't even consciously understand it, but you are able to express it in a statement or a hunch. And so my broadcast is all about who's got the best hunches. Who is the most accurate over time? Past behavior is the most indicative of future behavior and outcomes. And so, Kyle, I just got to give it to you, brother. You're batting 1,000. So hopefully you'll spend some time telling us what else you think is coming next. I'm going to sign off now. Take care of my family. God bless you all. They want us off the air because we're changing narratives with the truth. We're challenging lies. I can't do it without you. Please spread the live feed and the AlexJonesStore.com. God bless you all.
Isn't that something, though? Isn't it about that? Like, didn't Alex just hone in on it there? He just honed in on it. It's about family. Like, he's going to go do his family thing. That's the target. That's what it's like. That's the people that resist. There's that meme, and Owen, you've probably seen it too. And it's like, you know, what we thought the resistance looks like and a bunch of buildings burning. And it's like what the resistance really is. And it's like a dad and his wife and they're growing a garden and they're just, you know, making themselves self-reliant and insulated against whatever needs to come their way. I'm reading news feeds right now while we're talking and while Alex was out there discussing it. The New York Post is claiming in their headline that Minneapolis Catholic school gunman ID'd as Robin Westman, as we stated, Robert Westman previously, but it sounds like his mom helped him change his name, while possible manifesto shows psychotic obsession with mass shooters. So that's what it was. It's not anything else. It's not about religion, and it's not about going after children that are at mass, and it's not about people that are so young that they don't know the difference between what a man and a woman is or that they could be changed. And then you see in the pictures that even the New York Post was putting out there, this kid apparently in his book, which is full of either psychotic ramblings or, you know, or demonic thoughts. It's got a layout of a church. I recognize it because I go to one that looks like that every day. It's got a bunch of pews in front of it. There's an altar up in the front. There's a, that's where the Eucharist is kept and he's got a freaking knife pointed into it. So this is a hate crime and there's a reason why these things have been ignored because it's convenient to ignore them, right? Our previous DOJ ignored them for years. And claim that the reason that they couldn't go after people who had a certain pro-life bend or that they were Christians, it's because it was dark outside. That's what the previous excuse was. I'm very excited to find out what the excuse is for covering up on a narrative on this one. Maybe they'll get to it or not, but this is what a hate crime looks like. When somebody tells you that they're victim or they pointed out certain things. And when you see this sort of demonic writing that's written all over there, and maybe this guy was just mentally ill.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there's all kinds of political writing, religious writing. I mean, so clearly,
yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, clearly there's a political bent, I guess you might say a lack of spiritual bent, when it comes to the motivating factors here. But Kyle, I look at this and I'm saying at this point, obviously the feds cannot keep this information from the local police if that's what was going on in the beginning, which I suspect was. Now, I don't know how they don't come out in a press conference, I mean, really within hours I would say. I don't know how they don't come out in a press conference now and put all this information out, because this is like they've lost. They've lost. So, okay, you won the first round. You got a leadoff home run on us because you pretended like you didn't know any of this in the first press conference. But now we just got up to bat in our half of the inning and we just hit a grand slam. So.
Oh, now we're seeing it. Look at Fox. Now Fox is putting it, known by two names, wow. Robin Westman and Robert Westman. Is that how you say it? Cause, yeah, again,
I mean,
a trans-identified person.
This is like,
it was seconds. Seconds after I found out. It was the first thing they said. Trans-identified, went by name, Robert, quote, Robin Westman. This is hours ago. I was getting this. What is the time? It's now 1:20. I'm just seeing that about 30 minutes ago, the local news is starting to get on it. And check this one. Ready? I'll just read it to you because I think I sent it to you too. Neighbors say that the home was occupied by a man, a woman, and an adult child. No further description. That's always really indicative. And KSTP identified them as the Westmans. The neighbors gave a variety of accounts and they said that they kept to themselves and they were friendly. And one neighbor even described Robin Westman as a nonviolent kid. He's a nonviolent kid who was writing wildly violent things on his rifle as an adult kid and, you know, and stabbing a picture of a church, the layout, the map of a church with a freaking knife. And so, look, we don't always know what our neighbors are about inside. I don't know what my neighbors are doing next door, but it's, you know, nonviolent kid. That's what we got. And two names. We got two names and nonviolent. So that sounds great. They're slowly going to work their way back to this.
Let me kind of just lay this out here. I don't think any of this information gets out. A, if it's not for you, quite frankly. B, if it's not for now us on the show today, I don't think any of this information is out. I don't think you're seeing this now. Fox News is picking it up. Now it is officially mainstream news. I don't know how they cover it up now. I mean, they got to come out and do a press conference within hours to address this now. Otherwise it just looks horrible. If we did not do this, they would have covered this up. If we did not do this, because that's what I'm saying. I've been through a bunch of different moments like this, and every single one has different timelines and, you know, length of periods and rules and stuff. But I mean, so it's like sometimes, okay, we come out, we break the news that they made COVID in a bio lab, and then it's like years later they admit it's true. Or, okay, right. We were right on the immediately boots on the ground when they stole the 2020 election. And then it was like, okay, now everybody in the Republican Party says it. So there's different timelines and, you know, ways that this stuff works out. I'm sitting here. I'm telling the audience, folks. I've worked at InfoWars with Alex Jones. Okay, I've been through this stuff. I think I've probably been on air at InfoWars longer than anybody not named Alex Jones. I'm telling you, in the last 4 hours, we just went through a historical moment when it comes to free press versus institutional cover up. I'll say it like that. I think that's a good simple way to put it. You just witnessed a paramount moment. I felt it an hour ago when I said it. Now it's totally confirmed. We just went through a paramount moment where the institutional cover-up has been beaten by free independent press. I mean, unbelievable stuff. God bless your sources. God bless Kyle Serafin. God bless InfoWars. Unbelievable victory today. I'm stunned, Kyle. I can't even believe we just hit back to back grand slams in an inning, and now we're going back out onto the mound, and it's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a win, knowing that there's kids who didn't survive this, and Yeah, like I said, I'm vacillating right now. Like, it's good that we're pushing forward. It's good that people in local law enforcement realize that there's a problem. It's good that people in the feds are looking around going like, God, what's going on here? We can't have this thing hidden and there can't be a narrative run, and we can't be reporting that they were nice people and no one knew what happened and that there wasn't either some sort of psychoactive drugs involved or if there wasn't mental illness or whatever the hell it was. Like, who the hell does this with these guns? I'm looking at these guns on the screen right now. I'm telling you. I own nicer and far more weapon systems than this. This is not a healthy person. If you see this sign in somebody that's doing this stuff, you got a real problem in your hands, and that person doesn't need to be owning weapons. And, you know, we got to police our own as gun owners, and we got to make sure, like, I want everybody to be able to own a firearm. And I also don't want anybody who's mentally ill to be anywhere around them. And so I'm watching all this stuff. And how do these videos stay up? You can't even pick up a gun on a freaking YouTube video in most cases. Like,
that's
a lot of these
saying.
Gun channels get dropped.
How do the parents not know? I mean, this isn't like a couple, you know, firearms and magazines that maybe you can hide in a drawer or something. I mean, this is like the mom goes in there to change laundry. How do you not see that?
You can't not see that. That'd be like my wife saying she doesn't know that I have guns and go into my gun room because, and all this stuff. And like I said, and then I'm conflicted on the other side of it. It's just, it's sick. It's sick because there's little kids at mass. That is not an accidental target. You know, there's a lot of mental illness that you can see on some of this stuff. You know, where's your God and I love you and I hate you and all these other kind of things that we would see and you'd imagine in people. And I've dealt with mental illness and I was a paramedic. So I picked people up off the streets that talk to themselves. And I've spent time in psych wards working as a paramedic. And even here in Austin, like I used to work at the hospital where we'd have the psych ED and they'd come in and they were nuts and people who jump out of the car have their own kids in it still and ignore it. Like people do all kinds of wild things when their minds are not right. But nobody noticed this. Nobody noticed any of this sickness. And
but they knew
the other real scary thing is
right afterwards, Kyle, they knew get that thing down immediately afterwards.
That's right. Here's the real scary thing. This is big speculation time, but it's a possibility when the FBI goes after and sets these things up and they did and they've set up a lot of people and it's not just left or right. It's not a political ideology for the FBI. It's about funding. Okay, so I want to be real clear. They don't set up like Republicans and they don't set up Democrats. They set up people who are easy victims so that they can go and juke their terrorist stats because they need to be able to have reasons to exist. That's what the FBI does. That's what government does. That's what a self-licking ice cream cone does. It exists not for the purpose, but it exists so that it continues to exist. And the thing that I've been pointing out, I did it with Dan Bongino and I did it with Dinesh D'Souza in their movie Police State. We tried to point out that the FBI finds the most vulnerable and they find the most you know, mentally ill and poor decision makers who have really, really bad ideas. And they go out there and instead of capturing those people or reporting them to, you know, to a local health authority where they go and they get some help, they want to continue this. I just did a 5-hour interview yesterday and it's very poignant in my mind. The FBI in Knoxville arrested a J6er who was legitimately violent. He got violent with law enforcement on January 6th and then he had violent instincts afterwards. And he wrote a targeted kill list of 35 people in the FBI. And I can understand why you'd be mad, but you can't do that. And then he recruited people to go kill FBI employees, many of whom were unarmed and didn't do anything. Their name was just in his file. And then he went out and set out to kill them. And the FBI found out about it and they didn't scoop him up and violate him on his parole right away. And they didn't violate him on his controlled release from the judge. They let him cook a little longer to try to get more people involved in this stuff. The longer that you have a federal law enforcement agency that is going to be incentivized to create more, you know, law-breaking material and to have more people in it, then you are going to have bad things happen because some of these people are going to escape control and they're not going to be perfectly contained. And look at all this crazy stuff you're seeing him writing and all of his weapon systems are all decorated with all kinds of like all of whatever nutty things are going on in his head. You cannot control crazy people and to think that you can is dangerous. The Bureau benefits by these people existing and the only people that are like in danger are the potential victims. And you can't tell me that you're an agency that's out there to stop crime and that you're going to prevent terrorism when you are in reality encouraging some people so that you can get them for your statistical accomplishments and your budget. And you're going to not be able to know anyone's. Either way, if a terrorist attack happens, the FBI wins. We need a bigger budget. We have to make sure this never happens again. If a terrorist attack doesn't happen, look what we stopped. We prevented it. They always get more budget. That's what's going on. That's the vested interest these people have. Well, and God forbid you plant it to a left-wing ideology, which is what we're seeing it look like right here.
And see, there's where this is why the cover-up angle is so important. And by the way, I mean, if you're writing out a blueprint of a church and writing, where's your God now on a magazine, I don't think you need any further proof that this was a targeted, preconceived attack. I think that that's pretty much an open-shut case, should you connect those pieces. No, this is why the cover-up angle is so important, though. Because you say, well, what are they covering it up? What are they covering up? Why? Like, what is the motivating factor? So clearly, there is still an institutional bent to protect the left-wing sexual ideology and right. To protect the big pharmaceutical companies that it's almost a guarantee this killer was on.
Hold on. We got to go to break. My dad was going to come out of surgery. He's not out yet, so I came back in the parking lot. I've been listening on the phone. I'm going to just say this to get off here right now, and I'm going to stop for the day. They failed the cover-up today faster than ever. As Owen said earlier, you used to fight them for years on a cover-up. We always win. Now we win in hours, thanks to Kyle Servant of Sources. But I was going to ask Kyle when I call back in, what about leftist groups in the FBI provocateuring this for a long history? He kind of answered that. But the big answer is their instant cover-up of this just failed. I don't think Trump's involved, but we got to ask who was in place the FBI that did this today. Go to break. I know Kyle's got to go. They can finish up with that topic, but here's the biggest issue. Their cover-up failed in hours today. That has got to scare the system. This is historic, but we do have to investigate. And yeah, it's a victory for the truth. So sad for the kids. Two separate things. But They are failing instantly because of human intelligence and all the billions of people that are out there tracking all this, and stuff is just flooding out now that people were able to grab, as Kyle said, before they deleted it, and now it's going to blow up 10 times bigger because of the Streisand effect. This is huge. God bless you both. You're going on the break. Just thank everybody, and we'll be right back. Share a live feed of Real Alex Jones right now. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible supernutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty. Our medical-grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. Ultimate Fish Oil is now available at InfoWarsStore.com after being sold out for more than 6 months. And we give it the name Ultimate, like so many of other products, because it is the highest grade, the very best you're going to find anywhere. Now, most people know how great fish oil is, but not all fish oil is made equal. A lot of it has been homogenized, or basically boiled and cooked off, and it loses almost all of its good effect. This is the highest grade fish oil from three different amazing sources. Listen to this. Arctic krill oil is known as the best essential fatty acid. Then another well-known top one, wild anchovy oil and high-quality wild-caught salmon, also one of the top forms of it. It is back in stock. It is not just good for your cardiovascular system. It's good for everything. Take a few hours before you sleep, and a lot of folks have amazing dreams on it. You ever notice you eat like a good piece of fish that's fresh? You also have great dreams. You want to experience this. It's so good for your brain, your heart, everything. Ultimate Fish Oil, back in stock, InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
So the question obviously now is, why would they cover up these details that are now everywhere? And Kyle is going to get into the insider agency angle of this, but I've just been, stuff has been shared with me. I've been reposting some of it on my X account in the break. You have the mayor of Minneapolis with his protect trans kids agenda, where he's done multiple speeches about that. You have the lieutenant governor of Minnesota who goes around wearing shirts that say protect trans kids that have knives on them. Meaning like, yeah, you don't like our trans kids, we'll commit violence against you. Which, by the way, anybody who follows my work knows I've gone to a lot of these events here locally in Austin. And these are violent people, okay? The people that the protect trans kids groups are the most violent people that you'll ever see when you go to a protest. And I mean, you could say, well, you know, Antifa or Black Lives Matter is more violent. Well, okay, maybe they do more destruction, but no, the trans kids groups, they go after you. They go after you personally. And so think about the ideology of this. They promote to the youth to be trans. Then they tell the youth that everybody's out trying to get you. And so then the interpretation for them is, as they literally put violent imagery on the protect trans kids propaganda, knives. So it's, oh, I've got to go out and I've got to protect myself. I'm going to go kill people. So now I can see, Kyle, why Minnesota or Minneapolis would have a vested interest into covering this up. I could understand now why they would be running laps to try to make sure that this story never gets out. Of course, you know, Tim Walz is no stranger to trans kids either. He's famous for putting tampons in the boys' bathroom. So, I mean, trans kids is a huge thing in Minnesota. So I can understand, okay, why would locally they want to run a cover up here? Oh, well, it's their ideology that potentially caused this whole thing. Okay. So what about the insider agency angle, Kyle?
Yeah, so, I mean, the FBI has a bunch of people that are captured on this ideology that they're a protected class and you have to be extra nice. I mean, there's a person that I sort of joke took my job named Mac Montana, who is a relatively attractive-looking female who dresses like a man, wears a pin that says he, him on it, and uses the male's bathroom and carries a gun despite the mental illness in there. So we have transgender FBI agents that are getting hired. Not really clear yet whether Mac Montana was actually doing the FBI's male or female fitness test. That's always a question. But, you know, we've shown, people who follow me over on X will see it. I mean, I've been sharing this for years, that there is radical ideology. There was this office called Diversity and Inclusion, and they made a bureau-wide announcement. You guys are showing it on the screen right now. The FBI adopted the specifics of LGBTQIA+, and they've expanded from the previous thing where they said LGBTQ. They had to add the IA and the plus on the acronym because there are people that are legitimately captured. I was told very credibly by people who worked in the Hoover building, because I got a number of folks that are all over the place, and they said that the Human Resources Department of the FBI at FBI headquarters did not have an American flag on the wall, but it did have a gay pride and a transgender pride flag on the wall. That should blow the minds of the people that are listening and paying their tax dollars into it, because that's a political ideology. That's not just like, oh, I just care about people. Like, if you had some sort of very specific identifier, it's all one type of person, as you said. And a lot of those people are really aggressive. We just had a whistleblower reinstated as of yesterday, and I'm going to take a little bit of credit for putting pressure on Kash Patel for that and making it happen. Zach Schofstall was a whistleblower who came forward and said the FBI is putting an unlawful search on the guys at Patriot Front. And if nobody's ever heard the story of Patriot Front and what happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, it's worth listening to it. I did like a 3-hour interview with Zach. He's highly credible. He was very well respected by people I knew before I ever heard of him, and told me about him before I ever met him or talked to him. But essentially it goes like this. The FBI got involved with the Patriot Front guys in Coeur d'Alene. By the way, it's my argument that they're not a Fed op, because despite the fact that they look exactly like guys at Quantico and they march around and they do weird stuff, they don't do any violence, which is not helpful to the FBI's mission. The FBI actually had a stand down on them nationwide and said, don't go after them. But they did the worst thing you can do. They went and they protested in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at a diversity pride event where they had, you know, this assistant United States attorney with a transgender child They went and protested at it. And so she saw to it that not only were those guys arrested by the local PD, but all their phones were confiscated. They were all handed over to the FBI. And then they were like, here, search this. And the guy said, well, there's no predicate. There's no Fourth Amendment violation here. We don't have any, or rather, there's no probable cause making it an unlawful search under the Fourth Amendment. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do a search warrant for their stuff. And so that's a crime against the LGBTQIA thing, because obviously these people were bad people because they didn't like gays or lesbians or transgenders or whatever the hell the story was. So you actually ended up having FBI, DOJ, Maine get together, the Hoover Building kind of conglomerate and the Maine Justice coming out of DC pushed down on Coeur d'Alene, Idaho of all places and said, you must execute a search warrant on those things. And this guy said, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, that violates my oath. And they removed him from his job. And so that's why he hasn't had a paycheck for the last couple of years. He was removed like in, I think officially just over a year ago and, you know, was in limbo. And what do? They put a female supervisor from the FBI who was a lesbian, and she went up there and she said, you know, undisputably, I'm going to go sign off on this search warrant, even though she doesn't normally do search warrants because she's a supervisor. And all of this came down to this ideology. I started exposing this. And if you guys look, I sent your folks an article from the Daily Caller, and this goes back, you know, to the beginning of when I was doing this, because I remember sending this information over and I was staying with my folks out in Arizona. So this goes back to December of 2022. This is like a month, maybe 2 months after I started talking to Dan Bongino publicly. At LGBT Guidance, they actually put out a training, and I was actually issued this training, and I remember it, and I refused to do it. It got so poorly reviewed by regular FBI personnel that they actually pulled it off what's called Virtual Academy, which is this like government-wide training program. You log in and you do this like, you know, death by PowerPoint kind of thing. And they actually canceled it. It was put out in 2021. I very distinctly remember getting it. I was in the middle of moving and I had my child, my third child was born. So I just kind of ignored it and I told my boss I wasn't going to do it. And then they just made it go away. It went from being mandatory gender ideology insanity where like, how do you use pronouns and what's the right way to talk to people that don't know what to do with their penis and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And then you were supposed to go out there and like fill it in. And then they have a survey at the end of every one of them. And the survey was like 1 stars, don't recommend. This is garbage. Stop pushing ideology. And the FBI quietly went like, phew. So I never had a deficiency in my failure to accomplish that training, but I managed to get a bunch of the slides. I actually have all the slides and we shared it with members of Congress. These people still work at the FBI, the people who came up with the diversity and inclusion garbage, the people that work in those offices, they've been moved around, and Kash Patel's not running it. And neither is Dan Bongino. And they don't even know where to look because they weren't in the FBI when this stuff went down. And they alienated me and the guys that were trying to expose this and show. So real like, clearly,
why would this even be in an FBI training?
There's no reason. It's absurd. I mean, everybody thought it was absurd.
That's the kind of garbage you go to freshman year of college. They make you sit through 2 hours of PowerPoints, and even then it's childish. But it's like the feds?
Yeah. How do you become an ally for your LGBT plus colleagues? That's a job of yours if you're an FBI agent that carries a gun and swore your allegiance to the Constitution. It's crazy.
So just for the sake of time here, I want to speed this up a little bit because there's the insider angle of why would there be an interest in covering this up from the federal level? Just like I just said, well, here's why they would want to cover it up at the local level. Now, Kyle, let's get into kind of the
Give me more... 1 second to add to that. Let me punch in real quickly. Because if you have censorship and you get to scrub the internet before anybody gets it, nobody gets those videos, then what can they leak? Very selective stuff. The one that says 6 million was enough. So now it's a guy who hates the Jews, right? So now it's right-wing violence. You get one and you hide the video or the picture that says kill Donald Trump, and you just have the one that shows something else like, you know, love and hate or where's your God or whatever. And it's like, this was a nihilistic person. You can craft the narrative with that guy's got all kinds of ideologies running through his head, clearly. The fact that he chose to go at a church and shoot at little kids tells us a lot about what he ended up doing. But you could take somebody who's mentally, there was a bunch of stuff in Russian on those magazines. You remember that? And there's a bunch of writing in Russian. You could be like, oh, like he's a pro-Russian, anti-Ukraine a-hole. Like he's obviously like a Trump. You could frame it however you want if you control the information and you got someone that looks that crazy that's put all this stuff out there. Now we can look on the plain thing of it and see where he went and who he attacked and how he did it. And we can say, well, you know, he may have had a bunch of conflicting ideas in his head, but the devil wins and he went after a church and he went after babies. Okay. But if you're able to craft the narrative where you control whether people can see those videos or not, then maybe you only show the pictures of him where he had shorter hair and you don't ever show the fact that he had grown his hair out, was wearing earrings and identified as Robin. And nobody ever has to say that. So the narrative control looks like you can punch in on the part of the picture you want to show and not the whole thing. And I think that's the big piece here. And the FBI has a vested interest, at least some people do, to push that around. And we mentioned the local angle of it as well. So those are your two. That's how you get a narrative craft if you control the information early. And they blew it on this one. Or maybe they would have told us, hey, let's give them the benefit of that. Maybe they were just waiting to tell us all. Oh, and I mean, that's what they do, right? They want to be transparent with
right.
us.
Right. Yeah. Just like with the Vegas shooting.
It's my experience.
It's so trustworthy. That is such a striking point. So well said. So now I kind of want to get into the environment surrounding this. And I don't know if you kind of touched on it at the federal level. There might be more to expand on there, but imagine you have somebody that has bad intentions and then you give them the cover to do so. Like here's another example. I can't help it with the TV analogies. They're just in my head today, but there's an episode of South Park where, you know, Eric Cartman wants to go around running his mouth, saying a bunch of, you know, anti-Semitic stuff, foul stuff. And so he says he has Tourette's. So it's like, oh, I've got Tourette's. So now I can go out and I can say all of this stuff and it's okay because I've got the excuse. That's what a lot of this trans youth movement and maybe even the whole trans movement, but specifically the trans kids movement. A lot of that is you have bad people that have bad intentions and they mask all of it with, oh, it's about trans kids. It's about protecting trans kids. And I've seen it firsthand where honestly, when I go out and I cover this stuff, Black Lives Matter protesters, they don't really target me. They try to destroy property. Even Antifa, even violent Antifa people usually are either just targeting law enforcement or property. Now, I've had a couple of run-ins with Antifa, but that's because I put myself in that position. But they're usually targeting either law enforcement or actual physical buildings, property. You go out to one of these trans kids events, no, they're targeting you. They're targeting you.
Yeah.
I get assaulted almost every time I go to cover one of these trans kids events. And so it hits me. It's like, no, this is just their excuse. This is just their excuse. And I'm not saying this about this individual's parents. We don't know enough. But I've seen it. I've seen these parents that indoctrinate their kids. They have hate in their heart. They hate mm-hmm. you. They want to hurt you. They want you to see in pain. They get joy out of it. I've seen it the way that they treat me. And the whole trans umbrella or the protect trans kids, it's like, no, that's their Tourette's excuse so that they can say whatever they want and not get in trouble. No, they hate you. I'm to the point now, it's like, why would you put a knife on a shirt, protect trans kids? It's almost like they want them to go out and shoot a church. It's almost like they are using these poor kids because they don't want to do the violence themselves. So they're grooming and indoctrinating these kids into this world of hate that these adults are harboring. And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, the Christians hate you. The conservatives hate you. Oh, Trump hates you. You know, these are the people that hate you. By the way, here's some pharmaceutical pills. And by the way, here's the protect trans youth shirts with all the knives on it. Cause you know, you got to protect yourself, you know? So it's almost like, honestly, I think it's that diabolical, but of course it is. They chop up little boys and girls' private parts. Of course they're out there chopping up little boys and girls like it's a science experiment. This is a diabolical thing. And now, if anything positive can come of this, I mean, I can't even imagine what these parents are going through. But it's like, okay, now we understand the cover-up. We're not going to do this anymore. The entire trans ideology is an issue. Specifically, protect trans kids movement. This is a violent movement. And I am to the point now where I'm saying, I'm almost convinced they're doing this intentionally. I'm almost convinced they're using these children to be an outlet for their own hate, an outlet for their own proclivities to violence that they won't do themselves. So now they're using the kids to do it.
Let me throw a couple of real personal moments on there. My wife and I just had a moment where my in-laws are very left-leaning and, you know, they're nice people. I would help them if they need anything. And we got an email saying that she betrayed their family because we got married and we've been married for 12 years and we got 4 children. And so they have grandchildren only because of me and my wife getting together and getting married. But that was a betrayal. And the statement went something like, you can betray, somebody can feel betrayed without actual betrayal of having happened. And you're like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. That's completely illogical. How on earth would you do that? There is that's a hating position. Like that's a really evil thing to drop on your child. And in the same way that you were just talking about angry older people, but I call it impotent rage. Is that a fair assessment? When you see these people that are screaming in your face, you're out in the park, it's impotent rage. They don't have any ability to do anything about it. You're like a red-blooded male. You got regular musculature. Your ability to take a punch is probably fine. You know, they're not going to be able to knock you over, Owen. And so it's impotent. And it's the same thing that I see in some of the, like, the really extreme rhetoric on some of the other cases that I used to work. I used to work counterterrorism cases, and you'd find it in radical imams and Islam. You ever seen a suicide bomber under the age of 30? Yeah, just think about that. Have you ever seen anybody decide that they're going to go strap bombs themselves and be older? It just doesn't happen nearly as frequently. Maybe it's starting to happen now. But the people that really kind of believe in this are young people. They maybe their brain isn't fully developed, and they want to go be part of it. And think about you as a younger person. You're like, I want to get into the fight. And as you get older, you're like, how do I make the fight in my favor? How do I get smarter about it? There's an idea of like old dogs and young dogs. And the young dogs run a lot, and the old dogs show up where the bad guy's going to be because they know how to do it. There is a value in having people that understand how to do things. But you can always get young guys amped up to go do something aggressive and violent. And imagine now you're putting cross-sex hormones into them, and you tell them that somebody's coming for their life, and they have to stand up there. I know a lot more people under the age of 25 that are willing to quote unquote die for a cause than I know people over 30 that have children that want to go do the same thing. It's not quite the same person. And so, you know, taking advantage of these young people and pushing their, you know, these ideas in their brain and acting like there is some sort of existential threat. Like, you want to delete trans people. I get that crap in my DMs all the time. You probably do too. It's like, you're trying to deny their existence. Like, no, I'm just saying they're mentally ill. And like, I think that if you have a penis, you're a boy. You should probably not race against girls. And if you race against my girls, like, my girls aren't going to be in the race. It's real simple. That's not me deleting you. And by the way, I think God loves you and you should go to church. I want to help you, and I want you to find your life to be better. Cause right now what you're going down through is a really, really ugly thing. And so there's an awful lot of impotent rage that manifests itself in hate. And if impotent rage means that I can't strike out against people that are my own age and my own, you know, physical abilities level, kids are a really good target for that because kids can't fight back. Or how about Catholic school teachers and youth ministers that are sitting at mass and they're trying to pray and they're trying to learn how to be good citizens, and they're trying to learn how to be loving Christians in the way that their parents sent them and paid extra money for them to go because they didn't want to be indoctrinated in this garbage. A lot of this stuff, it's like, it's really far reaching and it's really, really disgusting. And when you see it and you're around it and you've been around this sort of that spitting bile, the way that people react to pro-life preachers who will just go and set up a thing and just say, you know, God loves babies and we love babies too. And they want to come and they're so spitting mad that they feel like they're, you know, emboldened to do physical violence against you. It's like, what would drive someone to do that outside of, you know, otherworldly possession? And it looks demonic. I mean, there's countless YouTube channels that actually make money on showing people how wild and how angry, and whether it's driven by drugs or whether it's driven by, you know, like something from the outside that's grabbed a hold of these people and they've opened themselves up to it. When you start playing with that game, I think a lot of people in America are playing a really dangerous game.
I think it's intentional, and I think it's a larger environment, because I even think about the pop culture aspect of it. And you think about some of the biggest people in, you know, pop culture that promote the trans stuff. They promote the trans youth stuff. Go look at some of their performances. I mean, it's like literally straight out of hell. I mean, they do straight up.
Yeah, it's hellish
demonic.
Looking. What's that guy? That's Sam Smith. Recently.
Lil Nas X, Lady Gaga. So, I mean, these are the big voices for trans youth and trans people. And then you go watch their performances. It's literally satanic. I mean, it's literally like, here's hell for you. So
well,
it's like, what do you expect
it's
that
so
to do? Of course the impressionable youth is going to be affected by that.
I mean, how many people under the age of 22 are in college? They're 18 to 22 years old, and they go start studying one thing. And if you were to talk to them 10 years later, you find out how many people have a college degree and can look and say, yeah, I knew what I wanted to do when I was 18, when I was 19, when I was 20. Like, we all are living experience. If you're over the age of 30, you know that you didn't know what you were doing at 18. There's I know one person in my entire life who knew what he wanted to do when he was the age of some of these people that want to transition their kids. I know one. He wanted to be a doctor from the time he was a little kid. You know what? Now he's 43 years old and he's a doctor. And so he took that path. That is very uncommon. Now, it used to be a thing that people had purpose and they grew up in a family that, you know, a family of plumbers, and you became a plumber. And, you know, there's a million Hollywood stories about how they wanted to be a dancer, really. But at the end of the day, like, most of us don't know what the hell's going on until our brain is fully developed. So taking advantage of young kids and pumping in, you know, this, the other piece of it is, you know, you could just as easily see them trying to blame this on video games. Cause this guy has like all these sort of like gamer memes on his guns and stuff like that, and has some, you know, some Doom references and some of the things that are written down in the writings and so on. And there's some meme type Russian that's apparently used in some gaming communities. I had to go dig into it cause it's not my thing. You know, if you have the information, you can craft the narrative. And if you have the whole story, you're like, this is clearly someone who's not well, and changed his name from Robert to Robin and grew his hair out and now thinks he's something else? What other things does he think? Where did that come from? And if his mom was the one who helped him change his name, you know, what other, you know, was she responsible for this? Is he on their health insurance? They said he was in his early 20s and the stuff that I'm reading. All this, it makes you sick because it means that it could have probably been avoided. And it, and a lot of this is to blame at the culture that we have right now, which is tolerant of, it's not even just tolerant. It's celebrated on a lot of levels. And then the minute that somebody does something violent, it's like, oh, it's not because of these things that we've done that no one's ever done in history before. No one's ever experienced that a pushing of this ideology on people that are too young to be able to embrace any of it. It's like, I think I found a crazy thing. I found a news clipping from years ago, and it was from some other, I think it was like a story of when I was in the Air Force. I think it was in 2000, maybe it was before that, 2007 or something. I don't know. I found this old news clipping that my wife and I had in some box, and it was the first reference I'd ever seen about transgender ideology. And it goes back to 07, and I'd never heard about it probably until maybe less than 10 years ago. So this stuff started really, really, really small. And now it's mainstream. You could literally go talk to any person who has their kids in a Catholic school or in a generally speaking Christian school or private schools. And you ask them why do you homeschool? It's because I don't want my kids indoctrinated with this ideology. Remember, the FBI sent people to surveil parents. Now we know that this was the first whistleblower disclosure I did. I just was telling a guy about it the other day. 2021, at the end of 2021, the first year of the Biden administration, they were out there protecting the National Association of School Boards from these ugly, violent, mean, bigoted parents that wanted to have their kids not indoctrinated in the same kind of stuff we're talking about today.
Well,
so the government has been behind this stuff in a long time too. Like they've had people that bought into it, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, it's even
the entire
worse.
Last administration.
It's even worse than that. The government schools. You mentioned 2007. I went to, I believe, my freshman orientation at Mizzou at the time in 2008. Yeah, that would have been 2008. I don't even know if I'd ever seen a transgender person before. I couldn't say. I said, well, oh, guess what? First day of freshman orientation and you're going to, you know, the spot where they meet and group you up. The first person there who's introducing you and organizing the whole thing, guess what? It's a trans person. It's a trans person. You think that's a coincidence? So
totally coincidental. Even, There's so many of them, Owen.
So all the universities bought into it too. And it was probably right at that time. And they said, okay, let's put a trans person as the first person, these freshman people. Cause everybody knows you go to college, you get a little bit more freedom. You start to experiment with some stuff, whatever. You're a little more open-minded. So they're like, that's hit him with the trans person day one. Like, let's get them into this thing day one. Let them know this is going on day one. I had other people say that they had a similar experience, when they stepped into a big university for the first time. So it's like the whole thing has been an agenda, but okay, let's put that aside. Think about how insane this is. This is just happening in our country. You have leftist attorneys and judges that are putting violent criminals back out on the streets. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're doing that. You have these radical leftists that are taking impressionable, and maybe at sometimes they do have some mental problems, these children, and they're pushing them into this violent ideology. And then what are they saying on the back end? They're saying you aren't allowed to have a gun. They're saying you need to be disarmed. You need to turn your guns in. We need this gun legislation. I mean, hello, what is 2 plus 2 equal?
They would run that on this is like, oh, it was an assault weapon. It was a short barreled shotgun with no grip because he had a little pistol, you know, like a pistol grip shotgun there. So those are going to be the real problems. The real problem is the gun, is the tool. It's not the guy that wrote all the crazy shit all over his gun, you know, in a way that you can come to my house. You can come today if you want to come see him, Owen, and you can see it. And I've got boxes after boxes of guns, and none of them have any of that kind of stuff because I'm not mentally ill. So we can't talk about the mental ill thing. And there's obviously a big financial incentive to continue giving those pills out. Part of it is the laziness of America. Everybody wants a pill to solve everything. Oh, you're fat? Okay, fine. Take a pill. Oh, you're crazy? We'll fix you with these pills. A lot of this research is really, really sharp. I mean, it's really short. And it turns out I married somebody in the mental health field. My wife has a master's in this. And all the stuff they used to think was true, like, they almost always find out that it's not. So, yeah, I'm sure this is a totally healthy, regular person. It's the gun's fault and the high-capacity magazine he's holding there that has 60 rounds in it.
Yeah, so disarm yourself while we put more violent people on the streets and at your church. Okay.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful. powerful you can get on the market at thealexjonesstore.com and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the Methylene Blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or Ultimate Life Force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the Ultimate Burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the Optimal Human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fourth hour now of the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer here. Final segment before we hand it over to a guest host. We got dominated with this news story today. We barely plugged, folks. Please remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Remember, it's the last week to be eligible to win the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon truck when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com. And tonight is the last night to take advantage of a free $10 to spend at the store. No minimum spend, no coupon needed. $10 for anybody who's shopping at the store. That will end tonight, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, before I do leave the desk, let me just pepper some of this news here as much as I can in 4 minutes. So Israel has basically, they can't cover up what they've done anymore as far as blowing up all the hospitals and killing all the journalists. So now they're just coming out in these press statements, and Netanyahu doing all the PR now. Oh, no. There are no journalists. There's only terrorists. And there are no hospitals. They're all Hamas headquarters. So now they've just decided they're not even going to apologize anymore. They're not even going to pretend like they're not killing innocent people. They're just going to say, oh, yeah, everyone's a terrorist and every building is a Hamas headquarters. So it's getting really bad. And then because of this, this survey just came out of the Pew Research Center. And it's so frustrating that you can't have honest conversations. Really, it's hard with a lot of political issues, but specifically with the Israel issue. And that's because just so much propaganda has surrounded it. But it's like you can't even have an honest conversation, and then it's like, oh, you're an anti-Semite. So I did a report on this some months ago, and I said, look, if this trend continues, you're going to see Israel become less popular than ever, or more unpopular, however you want to put it. And, you know, they try to posture me like I'm some anti this or anti that. No, I'm just a truth teller. And I said, if you really care about Israel, then you need to be calling out what the IDF and Netanyahu is doing. So that's not an anti-Israel thing. If you're pro-Israel, you should be calling it out. And that's why you have all these Israelis and now the rabbis joining them protesting in the streets every day, because they've realized we've put ourselves in a very bad position now. And so the Pew Research Center just came out with it, and they did surveys in 24 countries. So from the 24 countries, the average, 62% view Israel negatively, 29% view Israel positively. Okay? And that's only going one direction. When you come out and start killing kids and journalists and everything, and the whole world sees it, it's only going one direction. And then you come out and say, well, actually, there are no kids, they're all terrorists. Oh, there are no journalists, they're all terrorists. Oh, there are no hospitals, they're all Hamas headquarters. Nobody's believing you. So right now, it's, you know, 62-29. this continues another month, it'll be 65 unfavorable. Another year, it'll be 75 unfavorable. But they just don't care. And why don't they care? Because they have an agenda. And the agenda is for Israel to take the Gaza Strip and other land. So everything else is just an excuse to do that. But if they come out and they say, hey, we're going to go take this land and then kill 100,000 people doing it, well, obviously that's a bad look. So you play the victim, you stand down on October 7th, you say everybody's a terrorist, and then you think maybe you can kind of get away with it. Hopefully, I don't know if it's going to be so good. Tony Blair and Jared Kushner to brief Trump on Gaza post-war plans. So looks like Israel's going to be going in next month in September, and they're already running their plans to turn it into whatever they're going to turn it into. And they're going to move the Palestinians to Europe, and they're going to try to move them here. They already have. So that's what you get. And then what do you get? Europe gets flooded with Muslims and Africans. America gets flooded with this. All these war refugees because of Israel's wars. And then we get the refugees flooded into Western countries. And then it gets so bad because you're told that you have to tolerate it. So then you have the Muslim rape gangs and the culture and everything else, and then little girls have to protect themselves with knives and hatchets because it's so bad. All right, so I covered one story. I didn't get to Trump targeting George Soros. I didn't get to the election news and everything else. But you know what? It was a big story today, and it was a good reason why we focused on it. And so, but if you want to stop this, doing the same thing over and over again is not going to get the desired results.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty. Continue to cover whatever I believe the most accurate, truthful news is, no matter what the effect is on me. And then you simply decide whether or not you want to back the undisputed OG organization of the last 31 years in the fight against the globalist. We had great success within 3 years of me getting on here on Access TV, the local radio that's syndicated. It's all hand of God on it, working through you.
You're working with the foreign banks and the military industrial complex. This is all their idea.
You can follow people around. You can harass people. You can back up your banks, your buddies. But a revolution of peaceful information is coming. And when it comes time, you people are going to be brought to punishment.
You're lying to the public. It's disgusting.
This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
And I know my best work is ahead. And I know the tribulations we've been put through are part of God's larger plan. And I've learned a lot. And I've learned to be beyond humble and understand this is a sacred mission. But you're part of your own destiny and your own sacred mission. You better know good and evil's real. And you better know the devil's second biggest trick was convince the world he didn't exist. His biggest trick is convincing the world good doesn't exist. Because I know that I'm a fallen creature and I'm a sinner and I have my struggles. But I love God and I love justice and I love truth. The globalists are the cheaters, the liars, the insecure ones. And it's time for us to recognize evil, recognize cheating, recognize fraud, and oppose it no matter who it's coming out of. Attack the sin. What alternate universe is this? What planet did I wake up in? Attack the lies.
And you, Congressman Deutsch, are a liar and a fraud.
And that's why I've been the most attacked. All hell broke loose when I stuck a Bohemian Grill. The only person at that time to read it, put a job. When I made films about the USS Liberty, all hell broke loose. When I made films about 9/11 being an inside job, instantly, all hell broke loose. I was put under national security investigation with the CIA and FBI directed, you find dirt and you put that guy in prison.
They also want to hear from Alex Jones. He was subpoenaed by the bipartisan House committee investigating the insurrection.
But because the country and the grand juries were completely corrupt, because of the grace of God, not because of anything I did, I've been protected. That's why I have no fear. Only the fear of failure. Only the anger that I'm not stronger. And that's why I ask you to support us in your word of mouth, your prayer, and financially. Because I am only as strong as you make me. I am a weapon of truth and war against tyranny in your hands. And I ask you to wield me. My only desire is to overthrow tyranny. My only desire is to unlock minds.
I've got one that can see.
My only desire is to empower humanity. My only desire is to seek the truth, because God is truth. I have been tempted by the devil himself, and only by the Holy Spirit have refused it.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, and as you know, Alex is not here right now. Maybe he'll be popping in live via remote. So I'm Bill Jasper, senior editor of the New American Magazine, and it's my pleasure to be here, my honor to be here today, taking over the show for a while here. I'm the senior editor of the New American Magazine at thenewamerican.com, and a little bit different persona than you're used to. Alex is high octane jet fuel, rocket fuel. I'm a little lower octane, but we'll try to hold forth here. We've got a number of things to discuss today. You've just been going over the Minnesota shooting, Minneapolis. We're not going to be covering that this hour. I just got in here. I've been traveling, so haven't been able to follow that story closely. But there are many other things happening around the world, and we're going to be discussing a lot of them. One of the things that is popping up now all over the country is an issue that has been pretty much off the radar screen for most Americans, and that is an organization called the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA. You are familiar, of course, with the Mamdani phenomenon in New York, where we have a socialist, Marxist, communist running for mayor. He's being given the front line right now. We're told he's the front runner. And now we have the Mamdani of Minneapolis, Mamdani of the Midwest, with Omar Fateh. Another Democratic Socialist of America. So who are the DSA, and why should we be concerned about them? Socialists, we are told, are just a little bit more liberal Democrats than your usual Democrats. The DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, are a very important adjunct to the global socialist movement and the global communist movement. So we're going to go into that a bit today. Very important, because Mamdani and Fateh are not the only DSA candidates running all across the country. There are dozens, perhaps hundreds, who are doing this. So we'll look at the Democratic Socialists of America website. In fact, if we can bring that up, they just had their convention, their national convention for 2025 in Chicago. Chicago is the center of a lot of the communist and socialist activities for the past century. And in fact, after New York City, Chicago has been the primary central locus of communist socialist activity of the Communist Party. Here you see their website for the DSA convention, and we had most of the far left members of Congress participating in that. And the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, are an adjunct of the Socialist International. And maybe we can bring that up on screen. Socialist International has been for pretty much the past century, although they've been reformulated a couple of times. In 1980, 81, they took their present form, the Democratic Socialist, or the Socialist International. They are a worldwide communist socialist movement, including over 100 parties, socialist and communist parties, Marxist-Leninist parties from over 170 countries. That's most of the countries of the world, and include parties that are ruling parties. That is, parties who occupy the presidency or prime ministership of many of these countries, and whose ruling parties in their parliaments are carrying forward this socialist revolution. So when we look at what's happening today in the United States with the DSA, it is very similar to, it's a follow-up to what we've seen in England, in the UK, and throughout much of Europe, where the Socialist International member parties have essentially been ruling much of Europe for most of the past century. The Labour parties, the Social Democratic parties, the Social Labour parties are members of the Socialist International. And that is part of the big move that we see on the left side of the political spectrum toward world government. And very interestingly, this is what we in at the New American and at the John Birch Society. The New American is published by the John Birch Society. I've recently been named president of the John Birch Society. We've been pointing out for many years, for decades, that what we are seeing across the world in this push for world government is a global power grab. This is our special 80th anniversary of the United Nations issue that came out in July. A very important issue. We cover the whole spectrum of what the UN has been involved in pushing forward to world government. And essential to this is the work of the Socialist International. We are having our leadership conference coming up here in Pennsylvania next month. And General Flynn, Catherine Austin Fitz, Alex Newman, Pastor Truella, myself, and many others are going to be there. Go to jbs.org and find out about that. One of the things that we have been very much involved in exposing that gets almost no coverage in the United States, most conservative publications and platforms don't talk about it, is that the Socialist International, which is headquartered in London, along with the Fabian Socialist Society, which spawned it, that they work very closely with the uber capitalists of the World Economic Forum. This is where the globalists, the communists, and the socialists are integrated together. They're all pushing for world government. It's in the World Economic Forum's program. It's in the Socialist International program. And of course, it's in the United Nations. And the World Economic Forum and the Socialist International both have strategic partnerships with the United Nations. So, in fact, we show in this particular issue of the New American Magazine the actual signing of the strategic partnership between World Economic Forum head at that time, Klaus Schwab, who has since been replaced by Larry Fink of BlackRock as the head of World Economic Forum, signing this strategic agreement with United Nations General Secretary Antonio Guterres. So they have actually formally signed their agreement that we knew just from observation was a fact going back many years. So for over three decades, I was our correspondent at the United Nations in New York and at UN summits around the world. And at these summits, it was very clear, as it was and is at the headquarters in New York City, that the Socialist International, the World Economic Forum, these two apparently disparate and opposing forces of capitalism, socialism, were working together hand in glove. And particularly, as a number of the articles that we've pointed out, there's one that we have at the New America called The Grasp of the Socialist International. And it goes into detail. We show how top leaders of the United Nations in all of the various committees and in their summits are members of the Socialist International, and that the UN hosts the Socialist International at its headquarters in New York. So we see that both the World Economic Forum, the Socialist International, they believe in using crises. And in fact, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, says we are facing polycrises, meaning many crises. And so we have to use these to build global governance, by which they mean world government. They have tried to soften the impact of world government. A lot of people are a little bit worried about that. They see how our own government is really not conducive to freedom, to individual liberty. And a world government, particularly with a collection of global kleptocrats, criminals, mass murderers, that's what we have represented at the United Nations, that a world government under this kind of a regime would be totally against everything that that we believe in. So, for the past decades, the talk of world government has subsided as they have changed their rhetoric to say global governance. It's the same thing. And that is being exposed, and lots of folks are beginning to realize that this is not the way to go. And in fact, we now have legislation introduced into Congress to defund the United Nations, to actually cut off all U.S. funding to the United Nations. Do you think we should be paying more of our taxes to the U.N. kleptocrats and mass murderers and terrorist regimes? Most Americans do not think so. We have been led for the last 80 years to finance this organization because of the enormous propaganda, the thousands, literally thousands of NGOs, as you saw in the USAID program, exposed under DOGE. We've been exposing this for years. We didn't have all the access to the records that DOGE did with and does, but what was in the public domain and what we were able to get from members of Congress made it very clear that there were literally thousands of NGOs in the United Nations that were receiving our tax dollars to push for all of these radical agenda items, including all of these supposed polycrises, these many crises, whether it's climate change, global warming, acid rain, LGBT rights, etc., pro-abortion. All of these things are being financed with our tax dollars. Of course, many of you on who watch this program know that that is true. We've been seeing that for many years. But the DOGE expose finally showed millions more Americans where our money was going, through U.S. aid and the State Department. And not only those, just about every agency of the federal government has been, for the past several decades, putting our dollars into this whole army of NGOs. As I've been at UN conferences, in recent years, there have been a few more conservative, pro-American journalists there. most of the years that I've covered the United Nations, all of the media representatives there were simply rip and read whatever the press release came from the UN office. Very little critical pushback on anything the UN was promoting, and almost entirely being a rah-rah section for the UN and every step along the way towards global control, globalizing every facet of our lives. In our special issue on the New American, for instance, we talk about gun control. Today, with the Minnesota shooting, again, we're having massive calls for gun control, that the way to deal with situations like this is to confiscate all the guns. Well, our former Secretary of State, John Kerry, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he's a total globalist. He signed the, in 2013, the UN Arms Trade Treaty, the ATT, formerly known as the Small Arms Treaty. And that is a declaration of support for the UN prohibition on gun ownership, transfer of guns, and not only firearms, small arms, which are protected under our Second Amendment, but ammunition as well. And all of this has to be controlled by the state so that the state, the government, has a monopoly of force. And we've seen over and over again in the past century and in all of human history that as soon as people are disarmed, they become the victims of their own government. And so the Obama administration, through the personage of John Kerry, signed on to this. And we're told in the media that that means that the U.S. is a signatory to this, it has now treaty powers over us. That's not true. The president, even if the president signed it, that doesn't make it a law. And certainly when the Secretary of State signs it, it does not. So this was not an act of legislation. As my good colleague Joe Wolverton, our constitutional expert, says, this was an act of treason to attempt to sign away our rights guaranteed in our Constitution to the United Nations. So we've been covering the UN, of course, for many years, and a lot of Americans still do not realize why this is important. Just about everything in your life is under assault from this push toward globalization of law, globalization of government. So just in the past year, again, most Americans haven't even heard, we had a summit of the future. This was last September. The summit of the future took place. We covered it in the New American. Alex Newman, who has been our main correspondent on the United Nations, has been going to these summits and covering them. Some very important things have come out of this, which is the globalization, the global takeover of the internet, of cybersecurity, of pushing for digital identification. All of these things are coming out of the UN right now, and most of them are connected to our, as we pointed out, the UN's Agenda 2030, or their global sustainable development goals. And I even had on my telephone, I was amazed, on my telephone, all of a sudden my Samsung Android came up with a UN jingle and promoting the 2030 agenda. It's got a little song to it, and it's promoting it here. I did not request it, but when I updated my phone, Samsung apparently has an agreement with the UN, and they put it on all of our phones. We're seeing that all across the board in your kids' schools, in their curriculum, in your billboards as you drive around the country, in your advertisements from all your major corporations. We are supporters of the 2030 agenda. And it's pretty scary how they are putting this into all of the corporate structure. Of course, most of these corporations are members of the World Economic Forum. They've been drawn into this, and they believe this is part of the fourth industrial revolution that they talk about, and their new shareholder capitalism. So we're going to be diving into that again when we come back after word from our sponsors.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there, with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone, that is the precursor to glutathione, and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Well, I'm a tinfoil hat wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving fun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order.
It's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Jasper, guest hosting for Alex Jones. My honor to be with you today. Thank you, Alex, for helping me out with this. And I'm glad to stand in for you. Best wishes for you and your family right now. Last segment, we talked primarily about the United Nations. We'll probably get back to that. We also talked about the Socialist International and the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA. Really important topics that have been largely censored here in the United States. At least we're being told now that the DSA is, and the socialism is increasing in popularity, and we're seeing these dynamic candidates such as Mamdani and Fateh, of course, following on the AOC and the Squad, that that they show that there is a growing interest and a popularity with socialism. And undoubtedly, that's true to a certain extent. Our children have been for decades now marinated in socialist, Marxist-Leninist propaganda and indoctrination in their schools, in popular culture. And at the same time, free market individualism, capitalism have been demonized. And so, yes, there is some truth to this, but what we're not being told is that the crucial understanding of what's going on with this socialist revival or generation, and that is that our major media, the globalist media, is the handmaid to all of this, and they are promoting this. Because they want to see a monopoly of power. That's what socialism, that's what communism is, where virtually all facets of our lives are controlled by government. And, of course, government is controlled by individuals. And those individuals who are in control of a monopolistic government can then do as they wish. And so we have both the globalist corporatists of the World Economic Forum and the socialists, many of which are whom are openly declared Marxist-Leninist communists, of the Socialist International working hand in hand. And that's very, very plain to see when you go to the World Economic Forum's conferences in Davos or when they hold them in Beijing, or in other cities in communist China, where you see this is the most open convergence of the uber capitalists, the Ray Dalios, the Warren Buffetts, the Rockefeller types, in communist countries, holding forth with Xi Jinping and the top members of the CCP and other communist regimes working together to build a socialist superstate, their world government. We see it again at the annual world government summits, which are held in the United Arab Emirates every year. So one of the things that we're not told about the DSA and the Mamdani of New York or the Mamdani of Minneapolis is this connection to the Socialist International and the Socialist International's connection to its parent group, which is the Fabian Socialist Society. So the Fabian Society has been around since 1884. And you might recall that George Orwell wrote a book called 1984, where English socialism, INGSOC, had taken over. In fact, socialism had taken over the whole world. We had this totalitarian Orwellian Big Brother state. That date of 1984 was not just something that he pulled out of thin air. It relates to the fact that the Fabian socialists, led by Sidney and Beatrice Webb, George Bernard Shaw, and H.G. Wells, these were the intellectuals of England. In 1884, when they founded the Fabian Society, they figured that it would take 100 years to accomplish this, ergo 1984. And in George Orwell's vision, that dystopian vision, he was showing this. 1984, it would be eventuated, and this would be the dreary totalitarian system that it would end up with. George Orwell, Eric Blair, was a socialist himself, and he never quite shook that romantic notion that many socialists have of socialism, but he definitely turned against what he saw going on with the Fabian socialists in England, who, by the way, were very friendly to Vladimir Lenin and the Bolsheviks. They supported the Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution. They went over to Beatrice and Sidney Webb, went over to the Soviet Union, glorified it, as did their acolytes here in the United States, John Dewey and other socialists here in the United States. So the Fabian socialists are still very active today after more than 100 years, 150 years. And in fact, the Fabian socialists just recently, over the last several months, have been boasting about all of their people who are in power in the current government of the UK. So if you go back, all of the Labour governments of the past half century have been Fabian socialists, and they admit that and boast about that on the Fabian socialist website. Unfortunately, many of the so-called conservatives, the Tories in England, are also Fabian socialists. And probably the best book surveying the Fabian socialists we published, Western Islands published in the 1960s, The Fabian Freeway, by Rose Martin, and we are republishing that. It will be out soon, and it's a very timely reprinting because most people do not realize the full extent to which we have been permeated and penetrated. That is a famous term that the Webbs brought out. They said we have to penetrate and permeate the culture and the government with socialist thought, getting their people into positions of power. And they have very, very patiently done this with the help of all the various globalist corporatists who have been behind them every step of the way and covering for them to make sure that folks like you and me don't find out about it. And fortunately, there have been truth tellers out there for the last, for instance, just in my experience with the John Birch Society, for over 60 years, the society has been exposing these things. And that is why it was attacked so viciously. We see what happened with Trump and all of the MAGA movement, how viciously they've been attacked by the press. You see it with regard to Alex Jones and anyone who stands up to the New World Order, as they call it. You're viciously attacked as a conspiracy theorist, a racist, a anti-Semite, anything to try and smear and detract from you. So the people who have been exposing this in England, in Europe, and here in the United States, have been subjected to that for all of these many decades. Right now, there is an explosion of awareness in Europe. Unfortunately, the awakening has taken a terribly long time. And, you know, it's an open question whether those who are awakening in Europe are going to be able to reverse this. We saw during COVID, we saw massive demonstrations where people are saying, no, we're not going to go along with this. And we saw with the Dutch farmers and the French farmers when, according to the World Economic Forum, the Socialist International, the United Nations, they were having their fertilizer cut, their water rations cut. They're trying, the global would-be masters of the universe want to totally control food. And so the World Economic Forum has put together this global food hub, which is headquartered in the Netherlands, which we've written about. And if you wipe out the farmers, then you will control the food, and they will have their corporate farms like they do in the Soviet Union and in every communist state, where the government controls all of the food and your access to all other essentials in life. And so the Socialist International and the DSA, their adjunct here in the United States, are pushing these things as if they are offering the poor people of the world a genuine alternative to this terrible dystopia that is being foisted upon us, this new world order. Well, the new American special issue, again, I'll hit on that, is the global power grab. Really need to get that at thenewamerican.com. You can get view the articles, see the articles, get a PDF of the whole issue. One of the things I'd like to show in here, and maybe we can have our engineers flip to it, is the center fold, which is page 34 and 35, which shows the UN map of the world. I showed this recently to some people, very politically savvy people in Europe, and they were completely bowled over by this. They had no idea the extent to which UN agencies now control and have such impact over the whole planet. So this is a map which we have in there. It's 2 pages, and it shows the various UN operations all over the world. All of the we have dozens of UN agencies, from the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the OIM, Organization for International Migration. And most of them are headquartered not in New York, where we have the UN headquarters, but most of these agencies are headquartered in Geneva. Although there are some important ones headquartered in Bonn, in Berlin, in Paris, in Nairobi, in other cities around Brussels, around the world. And in here we give a list of all the various agencies, and then we show from the UN's own map legends the extent of their operations in the various countries of the world. And so if you travel around the world, particularly in the third world poorer countries, you will see the tremendous footprint that the United Nations and its agencies have all over the world. Tent cities, massive buildings and operations. We don't see those in this country, and in fact, the tourists who travel around the world don't normally see this, or if they do, it's hiding in plain sight, and they don't see the significance of this. But then when you go to the United Nations, as I've done for many years, and you actually work in the United Nations, you see how all this money, which comes from the U.S., from our taxpayers, and goes out through all these UN agencies, is buying the compliance and the total subservience of those countries so that they always vote in concert at the UN headquarters and at UN conferences around the world. And so we are bribing and helping to put in power the worst kleptocrats and the worst dictators all over the world. And when you see the full extent of this, and as I've done many times, when I go to these events, our people, or Alex Newman or others, when we go there, we're on a very Spartan budget. Not so our public servants at the UN. They stay in five-star hotels. They eat at all the fanciest restaurants. They have at their own headquarters in Rome, in Paris, in Brussels. They have catered food at just magnificent feasts while they proclaim that they are helping the poor and the starving of the world. And that is the kind of global bureaucrats that we're putting in power. It's the same thing that you see in every communist country, where the party leaders, the CCP or the Russian leaders or the Cuban leaders, they dine in luxury. They live high on the hog while all of their people are scrambling for whatever rationed scraps they allow them to have. So that is what we're allowing to be put in place on over the entire globe if we do not defund the UN. I'm glad to see that a number of congressmen have co-signed onto the Defund Act, which is being sponsored in both the House and the Senate, and would cut off all U.S. funding and U.S. participation in the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, World Bank, all of the dozens and dozens of U.N. agencies that are misspending our money. One very important aspect of that that brings it home, right now we're dealing with millions of illegal aliens here in the United States and all over Europe. They're dealing with millions of illegal aliens who came in as refugees, so-called. That was sponsored by the United Nations, by an organization at the UN, at their headquarters in Geneva, the OIM, the Organization for International Migration. Migration, not immigration. There's a big difference between migration and immigration. Every country in the world has immigration standards, immigration laws, immigration regulations. If I want to move to France or to Mexico or to Malaysia, I have to go through immigration procedure. The same thing is supposed to happen, people coming in. We have immigration laws. So you have to apply. We set our rules. You have to abide by the rules. Migration means you can just migrate across open borders. And so we have this massive open borders lobby. And this has been going on for a long time. I did one of the first documentaries on illegal immigration called Out of Control, the Immigration Invasion, back in the late 1980s, showing the disaster on our borders. Now it's inexcusable. Everyone can see what is happening. And we have journalists like Michael Yon and Todd Bensman and Muckraker, and I know Alex has had many of these folks on there, showing that the OIM and other UN agencies such as UNESCO have been down there handing out information, maps, phones, cash to the migration mobs and telling them how to get across our borders, how to violate our laws. Folks, this is our tax dollars at work through the United Nations, violating our borders, destroying our communities, and it's actually meant to completely destroy our country. And it would, just from the standpoint of the massive numbers that come here who are going to go onto the welfare rolls in our hospitals, in our schools, just the social burden. That does not include all of those unvetted terrorists and enemy warriors from China, from Russia, from other countries, from Hezbollah, who may be taking part in terrorist activities, subversive activities, sabotage here in the United States. So, again, this is the United Nations at work affecting us directly here every day in our lives, and we have an opportunity to change that. All of these UN agencies should be totally cut off from all of our funding. DOGE showed some of it going out through the USAID program, but that is only part of it. Almost all of our government agencies are shoveling our money out to these organizations. That has to be cut off, and primary among those is the United Nations, cutting off not only our direct funding of the UN itself, but all of its ancillary agencies and bureaucracies. So that's one of the big things that we have to be very concerned about. I'd like to segue over to another issue which has come back into the news again, and hopefully we'll have time to get to that. We have, we can bring up the New American webpage on Oklahoma City with our covers from the magazine. Recently, a new book, Blowback, by Jesse Trentadue, and who's an attorney who's very much involved in this investigation, and Margaret Roberts, has been making a lot of news splash in the alternative media, and rightly so. So the New American, if we could have the magazine covers back up there again, really led the pack after the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, and we covered this shows just a few of the articles. We actually have well over 100 articles, primarily by myself. I led the investigation there, spent a lot of time in Oklahoma City, and if you see the second cover from the left there, that is about new evidence on trial, and so or new evidence trail. So this is the story of Kenny Trentadue, and nobody was covering this. We covered this in depth in this and in several other articles. Kenny Trentadue was in prison there at the in Oklahoma City following the bombing, and he supposedly committed suicide, and his family, when they recovered the body from the federal government, found out that no, he did not commit suicide. First of all, they knew that he wasn't going to commit suicide. He was just in there for a minor parole violation. He was looking forward to getting out. He was not suicidal. But they found out he had been severely beaten head to toe, been tortured. And they said, no, this was not a suicide. This was murder. And in our article on that, we find that experts who were forensic experts, pathologists, medical examiners, agreed with them that this was not murder. This was not suicide. This was murder. And so the question is, well, who murdered him? Jesse Trentadue, his brother, is an attorney, and he has been relentless over the years, over the decades, on subpoenaing, or rather, writing FOIA requests, suing the federal government. He got the FBI to turn over a tremendous amount of information, and he substantiated what we had found in our investigation. And we'll be back right after this message.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. It all used to like Brain Force. Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones